ladies and gentlemen. It's Friday, July 26, 2024. This is the InfoWars War Room, your election headquarters, with 102, I believe. My counter is down. Need to get my counter back up. I'm going to say it's 102 days until the presidential election. And this is your election headquarters, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Now, it's the last Friday of the month, and so it's the Veterans Call-In Special. And we've got some great veteran guests coming up today. In the second hour, we're going to be joined by Jimmy Corsetti. And I really like the mysteries of life on Earth, you might say, that Jimmy likes to get into. So it's a bit of a different path. It's a bit outside of the political norm, as you might say, for this transmission as your election headquarters. But yet, very interesting topics. He's a veteran. So we'll be getting him on. And then veteran Alpha Warrior is what he goes by. He's a veteran. He's also worked in law enforcement. Now, we had 3 minutes of body cam footage that was released earlier this week, and I was discussing that with him, and he was pointing out anomalies and stuff that from his experience as law enforcement. I said, well, you got to come on my show and explain all this to my audience. Well, now we have another 25-minute, give or take 30 seconds, I think it's like 25, 10 or something, about a half an hour now of body cam footage from the day of the Trump assassination attempt. And this raises even more questions. And this building now, where they were in the second story, and that was their command post. First of all, the building was their command post, and now we figure that out. And then secondly, there were individuals that were posted up in those windows. And now we have the photo evidence of that. So it just raises the obvious question. How is the shooter able to scale the building right in front of your command headquarters and then be in a sniping position on the roof right beneath your nose? With the addition of him being on their radar for more than an hour and them for more than 10 minutes knowing there was somebody on the roof. Now, there's some other questions with the body cam footage that came out today that I'm really looking forward to Alpha's breakdown. And again, like I said, with the law enforcement background and military background, when he was breaking it all down for me Monday when we talked, I was like, yeah, this guy knows what he's talking about. So all of that and more coming up. Now, there are some developments in the race with Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. And, you know, we ask this question a lot. We don't know for sure. We can only speculate. But it does seem the Trump campaign is taking my advice or just has the same ideas as me. And there's really no point in debating Kamala Harris or at least committing to a debate with Kamala Harris right now. And so they came out with a statement saying, well, actually, you know, maybe we're not so sure. Maybe we're not so sure. And then the propaganda that they're running for Kamala is truly incredible. Now I'll give her credit. Aside from the propaganda angle that they're working for her, she's upped her game a little bit. Now, she's essentially the acting president at this point. I mean, let's call it what it is. So she's doing diplomatic addresses addressing the Israel situation, but she's playing both sides like a true politician now. I mean, I don't think it's going to work, but she's giving it her best effort right now.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true natural iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Heart defects went way down. Then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the Deep Earth Crystal Pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
Of censorship, Owen Schroyer is the light. This is the War Room. Watch it live right now at AmericanElection.news.
Big developments in the Harris campaign for president today. She officially has the endorsement of Barack and Michelle Obama. Now, everything Kamala Harris touches has the phony touch. You heard of the Midas touch. This is the phony touch. I'm not sure this woman is straight up about anything. I'm not sure this woman has ever not been a fraud. I don't know what she's serious about. I really don't know. There's never been a video where she's not pandering. There's never been an instance where she's not just being a total phony. It's the whole fake it till you make it idea, I guess. So they do the staged phone call. They don't even try to make it look real, or maybe they did, and they just, again, it's the phony touch. It's Harris's phony touch. So maybe they tried to look at real, but it's just when it's Harris, it's fake as $3 bill. She gets the endorsement of Barack and Michelle Obama. Now, before you rush to any conclusions about this phone call, remember that Barack Obama was campaigning for Joe Biden just a month ago. Barack Obama had multiple campaign stops for Joe Biden. Barack Obama did multiple fundraising events for Joe Biden. He was campaigning for Joe Biden. So just because Obama is now behind Harris does not ensure anything. Now I would say it does. If we're looking at odds, is Harris really going to be the nominee? Well, if you're looking at odds, certainly enhances her odds, but I don't think it ensures anything. I don't think it ensures anything at all. Now, Harris gave a speech, and again, she's basically the acting president now. And I don't know what's going on with Joe Biden, okay? I don't want to get into the whole breakdown of why he used to have detached earlobes, and now he has attached earlobes, or in this video, he's 5'10". Now in these new videos, he's 6'3". Or you look at video pictures of him in 2008, and then you look at pictures of him now. So I'm not going to get into that. I'll let you know that it's out there. It does seem Biden has grown 3 inches overnight. So I don't know what that's about. But the point is, Harris is essentially now the acting president. And I guess Biden or the White House has decided, let's give Harris these big presidential opportunities so she can get her feet wet a little bit. And then there's these addresses when it comes to foreign policy and diplomacy. Let's let Harris take a shot. And to her credit, I mean, if she's ever seemed presidential, this is the most presidential she's ever seen. I mean, let's just call it what it is. She's never seemed serious. She's never seemed presidential. She has the phony touch. She's the most cringe person that's ever been in a White House. But yet, now what she's leaning in on is the Israel-Palestine situation. So first it was she was going to cater to the anti-Israel leftists and not meet with Netanyahu. I think that had something to do with Biden's health and them scrambling to, you know, have him make his dropout appearance. So then she does meet with Netanyahu. Then she comes out as pro-Israel, and she condemns the anti-Israel protesters. Then her husband, Doug Emhoff, does media rounds explaining how pro-Israel Kamala Harris is going to be as president, and Doug Emhoff is Jewish. They have no children, by the way. Kamala has no children. So she's been wavering back and forth. And then she gives an address. Now, again, I can't stand Kamala Harris as much as you. But let's just be real about the situation. This is the most presidential she's ever presented herself. And I guess that maybe this is the strategy now with Biden clinging to life or whatever the hell is going on with Biden. I don't know. So with the mystery of Joe Biden, with the disappearing act of Joe Biden, Kamala is going to start to fill this presidential role, and they're going to say, okay, maybe if we start presenting her as presidential, we can remove this aura of just absolute cringe that she has. We can remove this aura that she is the DEI vice president, which she is. And we bought the receipts. We brought the receipts today to explain that too. Joe Biden said, yes, I will make sure I hire a black woman. And he did. So she is literally the DEI vice president. But they need to get rid of it. They need to get rid of the DEI aura. They need to get rid of the cringe aura. And just as another note, isn't it funny? Democrats are always trying to have their cake and eat it too. And their voters just, man, they eat it up. So at the same time, they're telling you it's the most secure border ever. The Democrats are telling you it's the most secure border ever. Their media propaganda agents are telling you border crossings are down. Karine Jean-Pierre, during White House press conferences, are telling you that border crossings are lower than they were when Trump was president, is what they're saying now. Even Joe Biden is putting out statements this morning. This morning, Joe Biden, since my administration took action to secure our southern border, unlawful crossings have dropped by 55%, and they're lower than when my predecessor left office. So, okay, obviously that's just a total and complete lie. All right, we get it. I mean, that is a ridiculous lie. Yeah, I'm going to go to the sun and I'm going to go get an ice cream cone on the sun. So, I mean, it's just the most ridiculous lie you've ever heard that less illegal aliens are crossing the border than when Trump was president. I mean, that's the graph that saved Trump's life, as he says. But okay, so but lowest border crossings ever. Border is secure. So they're telling you that the border is a success story. The border is a success story now. Okay. So if the border is a success story, then why don't you want Kamala Harris to own it? Ah. If the border is such a great political success story, if the border being secure and illegal crossings being down is a declaration of victory for this administration, then why is Kamala Harris running from the border policy? Why is the Democrat media trying to separate Kamala Harris from the successes at the southern border? Isn't that strange? Now, look, this deal is failing miserably. I got three guests today. I want to take calls from veterans, so I went light. I mean, I've been sending the crew like 30 videos a day. I've only got 17 today, and I got a pretty light news desk. So I'm not going to play the 30 minutes of clips, but it's even on leftist liberal shows like Piers Morgan, where they put Democrat operatives on the show that claim the border is a smashing success, and they get pushback, and they're like, how can you say that? Look at these numbers. I mean, that's just a ludicrous claim. And they say Kamala had nothing to do with the border, and then they just play the clips. They just play all the clips, the White House statements, the Biden statements, Karine Jean-Pierre statements, talking about how Kamala is going to be in charge of the border. These are on leftist shows. These are on Democrat shows. And it's just like, I mean, hey, you know, you can say that border crossings are down. They're obviously not. You can say Kamala Harris had nothing to do with the southern border. You're obviously lying. I mean, they're just they're caught red-handed. It's so ridiculous. But okay, ask yourself, if the southern border under the Biden administration with Kamala Harris is such a success, then why is Kamala Harris running from southern border policy? Why? Because they know it's a disaster, because they know it's a top issue heading into the 2024 election, they know that it's been bad policy, and they don't want it connected to Kamala. So they can sit here and tell you how great the border is. They know they're lying. And the proof that they don't want it connected to Kamala Harris is the proof that they know they're lying. So having said that, though, I don't know what they're going to do about this. So first Kamala comes out. Obviously, she was anti-Israel. They try to cater to the anti-Israel left, which is a rather significant voting bloc. I don't know if it changes in election, but it's not a meaningless voter bloc, the anti-Israel left, and we see them out in the streets. But it's not even about the anti-Israel left. It's that most of these protesters, they represent the new left-wing ideology. So whether it's Black Lives Matter or whether it's pro-Palestine or any of these other groups, Code Pink, they're all connected. They're all connected to the same ideology. So whatever they feel about Israel, it really doesn't even matter. That's just the flavor of the month. It's the same group. So they really can't upset that group. They need those votes. So Harris comes out as anti-Israel, but then, oh, well, I guess that's bad in D.C. I guess that's bad if you want to be politically successful in D.C. So then she comes out as pro-Israel. And then Imhoff does the pro-Israel tour on all the news networks. And then she comes out and makes some scathing statements and calls for a two-state solution, which Netanyahu has just utterly rejected multiple times in recent history. So that's right in Netanyahu's face. So they're trying to play both sides of this issue, but it might be too late. But here's now, I would say, I mean, this is essentially President Kamala Harris. I mean, that's what we have here in clip five.
500,000 people facing catastrophic levels of acute food insecurity. What has happened in Gaza over the past 9 months is devastating. The images of dead children and desperate, hungry people fleeing for safety, sometimes displaced for the second, third, or fourth time. We cannot look away in the face of these tragedies. We cannot allow ourselves to become numb to the suffering, and I will not be silent. Thanks to the leadership of our President Joe Biden, there is a deal on the table for a ceasefire and a hostage deal. And it is important that we recall what the deal involves. The first phase of the deal would bring about a full ceasefire.
All right. That's enough. But you can see this is President Harris. I mean, that's what you're getting here. You're now getting President Harris. And they can call for ceasefires and everything else. It's really irrelevant. Israel's going to do whatever it wants. And quite frankly, I think Israel wants the hostages to remain hostages because that gives them the excuse to do everything they want to do. And so in that vein, there are some big developments here. UK drops plans to challenge International Criminal Court arrest warrant requests against Benjamin Netanyahu. So now they're basically saying, okay, go ahead and arrest him. Britain drops a challenge to ICC arrest warrants for Israeli leaders, overhauling their approach to the Middle East, dropping its opposition to an international arrest warrant against Netanyahu, despite pressure from Washington. From Washington. Now, it's actually getting quite ridiculous at this point, Israel's propaganda. And it's pretty clear they want a war with Iran. But I guess the thought process for Israel is they don't want a war with Iran unless they can get America behind it and with them in it. And, you know, I didn't really buy much into this Iranian attempt to assassinate Trump propaganda, and I still don't. But it does add a level of intrigue now when we see how desperate Israel is for this war with Iran. I don't even get why. What does Israel want war with Iran for so badly? What is it that Israel wants to get into a massive war with Iran and potentially start World War III? Why are they like that? Why is Netanyahu like that? What in the hell is his problem? And it's sad that the United States Congress is so bought and paid for by AIPAC that they can't stand against this obvious, horrible foreign policy of supporting Israel no matter what. Well, let's say Israel wants a war with Iran and that starts World War III. Should we still support Israel? Seems pretty stupid, actually. So did Israel put out that propaganda to say, oh, see, look, Iran wants Trump dead. And then they get the conservatives on board. See, Iran wanted Trump dead. And then they get Trump on board. Maybe Israel even had something to do with it now. And I completely discounted that. And I would still say it's probably not. I don't think it. I probably still would say it's not Israel. But now it's just like, gee, Netanyahu and Israel will stop at nothing to get this war with Iran. I mean, this is top level war propaganda now that Israel is putting out on a daily basis to push war with Iran. And then he goes in front of Congress and says, Iran. Iran, Iran wants to kill you all. Iran is the worst in the world. You need to help Israel or Iran will attack you. Iran nuke is going to hit you. I'm sorry, where is Iran? Oh, that's right. It's nowhere near us. Our problem is at our southern border. And then you had these attacks in France, a sabotage of a high-speed rail line, which Israel comes out and says, it was Iran. With no proof, saying, see, Iran bad. So now anything is going to, a volcano blows up, Iran. A bridge collapses, it was Iran. So I'm looking into this. Folks, the propaganda here is crazy. Jerusalem Post, Iranian hackers threaten Israeli athletes at Paris Olympics in new cyber attack. Israel says Iran sabotaged French rail network ahead of Paris Olympics. Israel charges Iran with leaked details of Israeli Olympic team. Israel warns France of plot by Iranian terrorist proxies to attack Israelis at Olympics. And so it's all these stories. They go on and on and on. Israel is warning the world about Iran. Israel is warning France. Israel is saying Iran's going to drop a nuke. Israel is saying Iran wants to talk the Olympics. They want to attack the Olympics. Israel is saying Iran wants to kill Trump. Israel is saying Iran wants to kill you Americans. So I'm sorry, when I see somebody that desperate for war with Iran, I start to think, gee, you might stage a false flag event to blame Iran, wouldn't you? Like at the Olympics or in the United States? So this is crazy. This is how close we are, ladies and gentlemen, to escalation in the Middle East. And I mean, Israel is just bloodlusting, warmongering, and it's not all of Israel, and that's the problem. It's Netanyahu and it's his loyalists and it's his extremists that are just going all out and just blood dripping from their mouths. And after everything they've gotten away with in the Gaza Strip, they're just like, well, nothing is going to stop us. We might as well go all the way. Whatever the hell that means, at this stage it means war with Iran. So that is a very serious threat right there. That is a very serious threat. So now anything that happens, Israel is going to come out and blame Iran. Because they are just dying for this war. Now, moving on from that, Netanyahu went to visit Trump today. Trump brought him in for a tight handshake, as you might say. He grabbed him and yanked him in, kind of a power move by Trump. But more importantly, when they were sitting down to eat, Trump said this in clip three.
When, it'll be very simple. It's all going to work out and very quickly. If we don't, you're going to end up with major wars in the Middle East and maybe a third world war. You are closer to a third world war right now than at any time since the Second World War. You've never been so close because we have incompetent people running our country. Thank you very much, everybody.
Cool. Thank you.
Now, I believe Donald Trump wants peace and prosperity. I truly believe that. Which is rare. It's rare in D.C. It's rare in American politics. Hell, it might even be rare amongst world leaders. I think Donald Trump genuinely wants peace and prosperity. That's what he wants. And I think that obviously when it's all said and done, the U.S. has the upper hand. Sure, Israel owns Congress, but still, they need us. They need us with their foreign policy. They need us for defense. They need us for money. And Trump knows that. And when Trump sends the nice message to the president of the state of Palestine, and then he comes out and he says that in front of Netanyahu, that's Trump signaling, hey, look, I can get along with everybody. I'm willing to get along with everybody. But we're not going to buy into your wars. So if you want our money and if you want our support and if you want our friendship, then stop the wars, period. And it's that simple. Stop the wars. So, yeah, all right, we'll move the embassy. We'll keep giving you all the money we give you. We'll keep your Iron Dome going and everything else. We'll keep the relationship. You can stay a client state of the U.S., but your wars aren't going on anymore. Your hatred and vitriol for other people in the region is not going on anymore. We're coming to the table. We're signing the Abraham Accords, and we're stopping all these wars. You got it? That's how it's done. That's President Trump. Says it right in front of Netanyahu. So, yeah, I think it's probably worth it to vote in Donald Trump if it'll stop World War III. Don't you think? Probably a good thought.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true natural iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. Then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available, 25% off, InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review, or call toll-free, 888-253-3139.
I have been in a 28-year marathon battle with a globalist. I have come from nowhere to the very heights of politics, not just in America, but in the world. We are engaging the globalists at point-blank range in the information war. But I don't deserve the credit. Yes, I persevered, but the listeners and viewers who support InfoWars are the real reason we've had this success. We're having now the greatest victories in the fight against the New World Order we've ever had. We are now entering the final mile of the marathon. And that's why today it's more important than ever to realize how important you've been in this fight and to continue in the efforts you've been carrying out and to intensify them. God bless you all. I salute you. I thank you. And I beg you to intensify what you're doing now because we are over the target and history is happening. The fight is my fight. It's your fight. It's our fight. God bless you all.
If you don't get a high-quality gravity fit filter from InfoWarsStore.com, please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. And there's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure Gravity Fed Water Filtration System for 10% off. That's huge because there's not much markup in these because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure water filtration systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all gravity-fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
You know, working at InfoWars, you hear a lot of negative things about your place of work. One of the things they like to say about our supplements is we're snake oil salesmen. Well, folks, it ain't snake oil. It's fish oil, and it's incredibly good for you. Ultimate Fish Oil is now on sale, back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. If you only take one supplement, it's likely that's fish oil. It's probably the most popular supplement on Earth at this point for very good reason. People realize how good it is for them, and this is the best stuff on the market. Studies suggest that fish oils and fish oil supplements can slightly lower blood pressure, decrease the growth rate of plaque, and prevent cognitive decline. So whether you're a first-time fish oil shopper or whether you're somebody who has taken fish oil for a while and is looking for the best quality available, go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. It's going to sell out fast because that's what happens when you have fantastic products. Help us fight the global agenda and also improve your health with fish oil. InfoWarsStore.com.
Infowars.com/show. Making talk radio great again. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Gentlemen, if you like this show, I hope you'll support us by shopping at InfoWarsStore.com. You are our sponsors, and we have great products that are on sale right now, like DNA Force Plus. This is one of the flagship products of InfoWars, and there's a reason why, because it's really incredible how powerful it is. And I take two every morning. I take two every night. That's because the PQQ, the CoQ10, the Elevate TP, and so much more that is in the DNA Force Plus formula, which is regarded as one of the pinnacles of InfoWars Live formulations. Offering unmatched support for your daily health needs, this powerful supplement is designed to become an indispensable part of your everyday wellness regimen, providing you with the energy and cellular support necessary for a vibrant life. Antioxidant power, packed with high-quality bioavailable antioxidants like PQQ and CoQ10, aimed at combating free radical damage and supporting cellular health. That's right, heart and cellular support, with ingredients specifically chosen to support heart health and cellular energy production. Natural and potent ingredients, which include a blend of ancient and modern elements like organic reishi. So, ladies and gentlemen, get your DNA Force Plus at InfoWarsStore.com today, 40% off. And there's a reason why it's part of my supplement regimen, two every morning, two every night, really is a big difference maker when it comes to telomere support. What are you doing for telomere support? They don't tell you much about telomere support. Well, you should look into it. And then you'll want to support InfoWars and get a bottle of DNA Force Plus at InfoWarsStore.com. All right. I want to put the geopolitics stuff to rest. Guys, did you trim down our Douglas MacGregor clip in clip 12? Because there's a little bit of a reset at the top of that. So I don't want to pitch that if we've got that kind of awkward thing. Did you guys trim that down? Let's go ahead and hear an important message from the great Colonel Douglas MacGregor.
D.C. this week. He will no doubt elaborate.
Nope, we didn't trim it. That's all right. It's all right. Just let it
Americans. Mr. Netanyahu will visit Washington, D.C. this week. He will no doubt elaborate in private on his strategy for wider war in the Middle East. His plans should be taken seriously by every American citizen. At this moment, the war in Gaza has already destroyed or disrupted millions of lives. Precise numbers are hard to confirm, but hundreds of thousands of Palestinians and increasingly Israelis have been internally displaced, wounded, or killed. These aren't just numbers. They are shattered families and ruined lives. And yet, there are policymakers in Washington contemplating war with Iran. I ask you, if the human cost of the war in Gaza, a localized conflict, is this high, how much higher will the cost of a war with Iran be? For decades, we've lurched from one costly conflict to another. Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Libya, Somalia, and Ukraine. The price? Tens of trillions and tens of thousands of American lives. But who pays this price? Not the policymakers or defense contractors who profit from these wars. It's the children of farmers, truckers, nurses, and plumbers who fight, suffer, and die. We confront the emergence of new alliances determined to stop American meddling in the affairs of other countries. These new alliances include Iran, Russia, China, and a host of others who wait on the sidelines to join in the effort to stop Washington's reckless interventions. Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov's recent warning that any conflict with Iran risks drawing in other major global powers must be taken seriously. Let me be clear. No state, especially a free democratic republic like ours, should ever threaten war unless it's fully prepared to follow through. At this point in our history, Washington knows, or should know, that our nation and armed forces are not ready for a war with major military powers 6,000 to 7,000 miles from the United States. We're close to $35 trillion in debt. This is almost 100% of our gross domestic product. We're paying $2.4 billion in interest every day. Everybody in Washington should have understood this a long time ago. A war with Iran would devastate our economy. Imagine the Straits of Hormuz, a narrow sea highway between Iran and Arab countries, closed. Every day, one-fifth of the world's oil travels through this passage. If war shuts it down, gas prices would skyrocket, affecting everything from your daily commute to the cost of groceries. We're already feeling the punch from Houthi disruptions in the Red Sea. Now picture that problem multiplied many times over. A full-scale war with Iran wouldn't just be an inconvenience. It would trigger an economic crisis that would hit every American family hard, potentially leading to job losses, fortunes wiped out, and a deep recession. And let's not forget, at the outset of every conflict, those advocating for war are always convinced it will be short and decisive. History shows that they are nearly always wrong. We've seen this before in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Ukraine. Strategies fail, yet instead of reassessment, we double down on failure. The same think tanks, pundits, and contractors push for more conflict, more spending, more sacrifice from others. This isn't just a failure of strategy, it's a failure of accountability. We must remember that the first priority in national military strategy is the security and preservation of the nation itself. Any action that could put the survival of our state at risk must be avoided at all costs. A war with Iran with its potential to escalate into a global conflict, poses just such a risk. This is where you come in. Call your representatives. Express your displeasure. Remind them of the reality at home. 70% of Americans still live paycheck to paycheck, struggling with high food and fuel prices. To our policymakers, before pledging support for military action against Iran or any other country, consider the welfare of your constituents. The single mother working two jobs. The veteran battling PTSD. The young couple postponing a family because they can't afford a home. Are you willing to tell them their suffering is worth another war? The self-defeating policy of open-ended military interventions with unattainable military objectives must end. Americans must break the cycle of unaccountable decision-making and recognize that America's true strength lies not in our ability to wage war, but in our capacity to build peace, a peace that benefits the United States and the world. Americans, your country needs you now, not to fight in foreign lands, but to fight here at home for prosperity and peace, for accountability, and for a government that puts your needs first. Call your representatives. Speak out in your communities. Let the halls of power echo with the voice of Americans who believe America's needs for peace and prosperity must come first. Thank you for listening. And may God bless you, these United States, with the wisdom and courage to secure a peaceful and prosperous future for everyone.
Now, how could anybody disagree with anything Colonel McGregor just said? How could you disagree with any of that? I'm calling for a Trump-McGregor alliance right now. And really, I don't know if Colonel McGregor is interested, but he should probably be a part of Donald Trump's administration. That would be very big and important, I would say. And look, apparently, you know, maybe Trump's team took my advice in the Kamala Harris debate. They released this statement. Given the continued political chaos surrounding crooked Joe Biden and the Democrat Party, general election debate details cannot be finalized until the Democrats formally decide on their nominee. There is a strong sense by many in the Democrat Party, namely Barack Hussein Obama, that Kamala Harris is a Marxist fraud who cannot beat President Trump, and they are still holding out for someone better. Therefore, it would be inappropriate to schedule things with Harris because Democrats very well could still change their minds. So, hey, look, if anybody out there from the Trump campaign is hearing me, get McGregor on board.
One of the most frustrating things about being awake to the globalist agenda is seeing the general public still asleep. By and large, not aware of the magnitude of the incredible danger they're under, but also the ongoing attacks and the magnitude of the death caused by the lethal injections, mass ratings, vaccines. It is so frustrating to see people going about their daily lives oblivious. And you realize ignorance is not bliss, it equals death. But people are starting to really understand how serious things are, and that's a hard thing to do, because to wake up to a dystopic reality and realize that we're in the middle of a giant biological weapons war against humanity, and that there's mass sterilization that's already taking place, and they're cutting off all the major energy sources, is really hard to deal with, but it's the reality. Facing it is our only chance to turn this around, because stuff's about to get really, really nasty. InfoWars.com.
A lot of listeners have complained in the last 2 years that our amazing high-quality coffee has not been available. And that's because the prices went up too high for the raw beans and the quality had gone down some. I turned down so many companies that wanted to work with us. But now, we have brought back the coffee, and it's even better from a national supplier that's veteran-owned and veteran-operated. It's powered by the company Minuteman Coffee. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the best-tasting, best-smelling, strongest coffee that I have ever drank. It is game-changing. All you got to do is buy a bag of it and try it. I know you're going to be hooked, which will then fund our operation, A360 Win. Go to InfoWarsStore.com right now for Escape to Prison Planet Light Roast. That's the strongest. The amazing Medium Roast Wake Up America. And finally, the best-tasting Dark Roast Tip of the Spear, now exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com. Get your coffee now.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply. Especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Heart defects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when you look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. And I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us. And that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Some breaking news here. I guess this is some footage from the opening Olympic ceremonies earlier today. I'll get to that. But Donald Trump has announced he's going to be going back to Butler, Pennsylvania to have a rally. Donald Trump has announced Butler, Pennsylvania rally. So that's all we know right now. We don't know the location or time, but he has announced he will be going back to complete his rally. That's epic. So Trump announces Butler, Pennsylvania rally honoring the soul of our beloved firefighting hero, Corey, and those brave patriots injured 2 weeks ago. Luckily, the two others that were injured have been released from the hospital now. What a day it will be. Fight, fight, fight. Stay tuned for details. How about that? Right in their face. Right in their face. All right, now quickly on the Olympics. This is just crazy. And there always seems to be some weird secret society propaganda going on at these ceremonies. We remember right before COVID, I think it was in London, they did the all the kids wearing masks and on hospital beds and then like a robot of death above them. Like, oh, you're warning us you're going to launch a virus and kill everybody and put us in masks? What's that about? And so they start the Olympic ceremonies, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. They had one of the world's great metal bands, Gojira. You hear them frequently on the music on this show. And I'm like, oh, wow. Wow, maybe they're going to do something cool, and you're going to have good music and stuff. And then they just went completely, I don't know what you – I mean, it's just straight satanic. And I don't really care about the fire, whatever. I like fire. I like pyrotechnics. You know, even the beheading was like, okay, that's kind of French culture. I mean, they did have a French Revolution. They beheaded people. So even with that, I was like, okay, whatever. So pyrotechnics, French people beheading people, cool metal band. Oh, all right, not bad. And then everything after that was tranny, 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 gay, gay, gay. And blaspheming Christianity and Jesus Christ. I mean, mocking the Last Supper with a bunch of trans individuals, and then having trans dance routines with bearded men in dresses, and they I don't know if it's raining there or if they're spraying them with that so that it's like, I mean, I don't know. So this is what you get. You get the Tranny Express. So they start off, and I'm like, oh, cool, a metal band that I like. And, all right, that's kind of cool. They got some pyrotechnics, the beheaded lady. Okay, that's kind of French culture. They like the French leftist beheading people. And then it just goes full, oh, we're just actually here to just sexualize trannies and blaspheme Jesus Christ and do a tranny Last Supper. So why do they have to do this? Why do they have to do this? Can't we just be normal? Can't we just have the Olympics and just celebrate individual greatness? Can't we just come together for the Olympics and just celebrate our differences and friendly competition and just go through the tradition? Can we just not ruin everything with you shoving transgender gay agendas in our face? Can we just not ruin everything with you having to blaspheme Christianity in our face? Like, can you just do a normal performance and then open up the Olympics and then we can all have a good time? You just have to step on everything. You just have to spit on everything. I like the Olympics. I was kind of excited. Get home at night, pop on the Olympics before you go to bed, watch a couple things. U.S. usually does pretty well. It can be a patriotic moment. And then they just do something. They just spit in your eye. You're like, geez, man, like, how do I watch now? You just spit in my eye, and then you put a dude in a dress gyrating his balls in my face. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I'm really excited for the Olympics now. God. All right. So there you go. The Olympics have started, guys. Jeez. The level of propaganda for Kamala Harris is crazy. Here, this is Barack and Michelle Obama officially endorsing Kamala Harris in a cringe video routine. Guys, let's just cut it with the Olympics. I just can't deal with it. I mean, it's just the symbolism and propaganda is insane. I don't want to see a gay tranny's balls in a leotard in a wet T-shirt contest, okay? I just want to watch the Olympics and maybe a cool opening ceremony that's family friendly. It'd be nice. But no, you just can't do it. You leftists just, you just can't do it, can you? You just can't, we just can't have anything. We can't have anything for normal people. We can't have anything that's family friendly. We get it. You hate families. You hate normal people. You want to just take a fat dump on everything that's traditional and historical and supposed to be for everybody. You just can't do it, can you? Got it. Thanks for the not so subtle reminder. Here is the official endorsement from Barack and Michelle Obama of Kamala Harris. So this is the second presidential candidate that the Obamas have endorsed. Maybe it'll stay at two. Maybe it'll be three. Could be four when it's all said and done. Look at how phony. Look at how forced this is in clip six.
Kamala.
Hi.
Hey there.
Oh, hi, you're both together. Oh, it's good to hear you both.
I can't have this phone call without saying to my girl Kamala, I am proud of you. This is going to be historic.
We called to say Michelle and I couldn't be prouder to endorse you and to do everything we can to get you through this election and into the Oval Office.
Oh, my goodness. Michelle, Barack, this means so much to me. I am looking forward to doing this with the two of you, Doug and I both, and getting out there, being on the road. But most of all, I just want to tell you the words you have spoken and the friendship that you have given over all these years mean more than I can express. Mm. So thank you both. It means so much. And we're going to have some fun with this too, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Of course, because it's all fun and games, you know. Stepping on the American people and watching them starve and go broke is fun for you and Barack. You know, there's a turd in the punch bowl. There's a turd in the punch bowl, folks, and it's Doug Imhoff. Barack's gay. Michelle's a dude. Kamala's not white. And then Emhoff is in there, a white man or a Jewish man. Either way, that doesn't jive with left-wing politics. So I think Kamala's only move at this point is to divorce Doug Emhoff and bring in Jussie Smollett. Is there anybody else that – what do you guys think? Is there anybody else that could replace Emhoff? We got to get – there's a turd in the punch bowl. It just doesn't fit. If you have Michelle and Barack and Kamala in the room, you can't have Emhoff. That's just – that's a turd in the punch bowl. It's got to be – she's got to divorce him and maybe go with Smollett. I can't think – I mean, I'm thinking it's Smollett. Or maybe, you know, Karine Jean-Pierre is single now. Maybe she changes teams. First Lady Karine Jean-Pierre. Got the Olympics going on right now. It's a French name. That might be the move. It's Jussie Smollett is kind of French, too. So I don't know. I mean, either way, they're both gay. Or maybe they could do some sort of a polyamorous relationship. Maybe have them both in there. And then, or maybe, like, put Emhoff in, like, a gimp mask or, like, you know, like, dominatrix him or something, because it just doesn't fit with Emhoff, a white man, being in there like that. He has to be either humiliated or erased from the picture. Otherwise, I don't think Kamala makes it. All right. And so this is going on. You have all these leftists that are saying Kamala never bailed out anybody with the Minnesota Freedom Fund. And then they're tweeting all over the internet this, except she literally did tweet it out. And so the community notes links the tweet in every statement that claims she never supported the Minnesota Freedom Fund. They literally link her tweet that promoted the Freedom Fund. They link it right there every time saying, "You're lying, here's the tweet." Quote from Kamala Harris: "If you're able to, chip in now to the Minnesota Freedom Fund to help post bail for those protesting on the ground in Minnesota." You know, when they burnt it to the ground. It's a protest. Is there anything more cringe than a Indian American telling you that she's so into black culture like this in clip 7?
All right, Marlon, so I know how to make a mean pot of greens. In fact, people used to ask me to make greens for them for Christmas. One year, I had so many that I had to wash, but we ended up washing them in the bathtub.
You washed a pot of greens in the bathtub?
Oh,
hell. It's like Hillary Clinton whips out a bottle of hot sauce. She's like, "Don't you blacks like hot sauce? Look, I got hot sauce. Don't blacks like hot sauce?" I'm like, what the hell? Kamala Harris: "I make collard greens in the bathtub. Vote for me if you're black."
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
Omega-3 fatty acids are needed for optimal strength. And they can only be obtained through diet. They can be found in grass-fed beef, which is why the ruling class is trying to ban it. And they can be found in fish, which are arguably the best source of omega-3s. But the problem today is finding fish without a high mercury content. Your best option is our Ultimate Fish Oil and Ultimate Krill Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. Omega-3 fatty acids are essential for both our neurological and cardiovascular systems, our brain and our heart. They improve mood, mental clarity, and immune function. Get your essential omega-3 fatty acids from the best sources available: Ultimate Fish Oil and Ultimate Krill Oil. Get some today at InfoWarsStore.com.
War Room.
Infowars.com/show.
It's time to take a stand. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Share this message right now at band.video.
I used to believe everything I'd see on the news, but that's before I discovered a brain.
A brain is meant for everyday use. Those living with moderate to severe stupidity have seen immediate improvement in common sense with a brain.
I thought the government had my best interests at heart, and then a friend told me about a brain.
Talk to your doctor about what news sources you obey. A brain may also lower your desire to take life-altering advice from celebrities.
Getting lectured about my carbon footprint from people with three private jets used to make sense. But thanks to a brain, now I can think for myself every day. When my disregard for third-grade biology began to flare up, I knew it was time for a brain.
Do not try a brain if you're allergic to a brain. Common side effects may include accountability, discernment, homeschooling your kids, a better understanding of economics, awareness of the stupidity of socialism, and diarrhea.
For tethering yourself to reality, the only no-brainer is choosing a brain. Ask your doctor if a brain is right for you.
For more information, visit tryabrain.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, recommend a brain to your Democrat friends. Ask them if they've heard about a brain and that they need a brain, and maybe we can help them out. Seems to be what they're lacking. By the way, Dane Cook, a really popular comedian a decade or two ago, I'm sure he's still pretty popular and successful, but I mean, he was like the number one comedian for a couple years, about 20 or so years ago. And he put up a video, and it's very, I want to play the video because you can see there's no angle to this. There's no emotion. It's just, he's just asking people, hey, what do you guys think about politics right now? And we'll play the video and then get to the responses. Here it is, clip 13.
I get a serious question. Kind of get serious. So I'm just curious. I don't want to hear it from like some kind of media outlet. I didn't want to hear it from some random internet source. I just wanted to get like a vibe from people on here. Politically, where are you at? I mean, you don't have to say like what your vote is full out, but like, I just want to understand like where the country is right now after, you know, just the last 2 weeks has been pretty gnarly in terms of just everything and anything political. And so just out of my own curiosity, in the comment section, where are you leaning? What's the vibe? It's not even a poll. I just want to like just get a general sense.
Well, speaking of polls, we can get to that in a second. But folks, you go into the comments and this is all you see. Was blue, but learned to fact check and now red. I've seen so many leaving the left videos. I was a Democrat, not anymore. Voted left my whole life, and now I have to vote right for my children. It just goes on and on like this. I lean left, but going with Don on this one. And then, had you ever heard this? Don Van Gogh. Don Van Gogh with the ear. I'd never heard of Don Van Gogh until I started. Don Van Gogh. We should maybe put up a famous Van Gogh and then like do an AI like Trump rendition of a Van Gogh or something. So anyway, it just goes on and on and on. And it's mostly people that say they're liberal or vote Democrat or lean left, and they're all voting for Donald Trump. I mean, look at this one. Used to be extreme left, now I'm far right. It just goes on and on. I was raised Democrat. Now I'm voting Republican. Every single one of the comments. And getting back to the polls, folks, they're trying so hard to get Trump to lose a poll. Oh, there it is. Wow. Nicely done. There's Trump Van Gogh, or Don Van Gogh. They're trying so hard to get Trump to lose a poll, and every single poll that they put up on Twitter, or X rather, is Trump is getting minimum 70%, maximum 80%. Doesn't matter who's putting it up, doesn't matter the source, anything. So they try to read, and the Krasensteins are just losing, they're losing their minds. So now they're putting up polls that say, do you want a rapist or do you want a lawyer for president? And then the rapist wins. So they can't even frame it to get Trump to lose. It's a nice effort, liberals.
If you don't get a high-quality gravity fit filter from InfoWarsStore.com, please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. There's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure Gravity Fed Water Filtration System for 10% off. That's huge because there's not much markup in these because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure water filtration systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all gravity-fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
Today is Jimmy Corsetti, and I recently saw him on with the Hodge Twins, and it was just such an awesome interview, and he just has so many unique perspectives that I was like, man, I gotta get this guy on. I want to talk to this guy about some of the stuff and the research that he does. And Jimmy, really what sparked my imagination with you was getting into kind of the hidden anthropology. I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I mean, I think you would probably agree how the theory of evolution has been completely debunked with some of the things that we know about ancient human civilization. So I definitely want to get into that with you, but I can't help but let's just start off political because I was looking at your X feed today and you were getting into some politics. I mean, where do you see us at right now in America politically? I mean, I know you heard some of my first 5 minutes there for this hour. So, I mean, where do you see things going? Democrats are desperate. Now they're trying Kamala. The deep state tries to put a bullet through Trump's head. How do you find ground right now in these epic political times?
I have to tell you, what I think we're witnessing is history repeating itself. And if there's something I've learned while studying history and the ancients, is that this seems to be a cycle of rinse, cycle, repeat, so to speak, that throughout history, tyrants move in, they'll stop at nothing to gain power and destroy everyone along with it. And it's happening all over again. These people are trying to take over the world, and they're all in. And the hour is late, and I couldn't be more concerned about the future of the United States. I will say that the future looks quite bleak. However, good triumphs over evil. And I think that the future is uncertain and it's not too late. I do believe that things will get much worse before they get better, but we're in for a fight. And history is the case in point. It seems to go this way.
Well, you've got a really incredible channel, Bright Insight, for folks. If you want to look at some of the untaught ancient history, you won't learn this stuff in the history textbooks. I think that's by design. They'd rather lie to you about evolution then tell you the truth about ancient history, and maybe we can get into that in a second. But leaning in on that, do you think things move faster now when we deal with major turning of events like we're going through right now? Do you think things are moving faster now than they would normally? Because I tell my friends that ask me, like, oh, what's going to happen? Everything's so crazy. And I just say, look, I can't tell you for sure what's going to happen. I tune into the show if you want to know. But I'm like, look, the next 100 days are going to be just completely crazy. The next 100 days till the election, 102, are going to be insane. And then the 70-so-odd days from election to inauguration are going to be insane. So that's all I pretty much can guarantee people when they ask me, well, what do you think is going to happen, really?
Yeah, things are moving faster than ever. It's because their lies are being exposed at a speed of light rate because of our technology. Here we are blasting out the truth on Twitter, and they can't keep up. And I agree with you. Things are going to get unbelievably crazy over the next 100 days. Here's my big prediction. Kamala Harris is not going to be the nominee. And if she is, something will happen between the DNC nomination at the end of or latter part of August and the election day. She's not the one. They know she can't win. They're going to steal it. They stole 2020, so they have to steal it again. They're all in. If they don't keep stealing it, they'll get caught. And best case scenario, they'll spend the rest of their lives in prison. So I think we're going to witness a curveball. I don't know what it is. COVID in 2020 was the curveball. People weren't really expecting that. There was talks of a pandemic and all that, but like nothing to that extent. And that was their artifice to steal a 2020 election through mail-in voting and the machines and everything else. So I think that there's going to be something that comes out of left field that we're not expecting. It might go beyond World War III. It could be a grid-down scenario. Use your imagination, but I'm telling you, something's coming. This is not going to play out. And they know she can't win. When the election comes and Donald Trump doesn't win, everyone will be convinced it was stolen. So they need to bring out something in the last second. I'm convinced of it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, that's kind of a wild card, too, is we think, okay, a million people in January 6th in D.C., that was like Trump's top supporters. Those were people that really follow politics with a microscope every day that were like, this thing was so obviously stolen. I've got to do something. I've got to go to D.C. and call for the process to have this thing reviewed, the legal lawful process to have this thing reviewed. And then, you know, the rest is history, as they say. But I think that should they steal it from Trump again, I don't think it's going to be a million people in D.C. I don't know what it's going to be, but I think it's going to be 10 million plus people that are going to be like that, like saying, OK, this was a steal job. Now, I don't know what that looks like as far as what people do in that response mechanism, but it's going to be 10 million plus that are like, no. This election was fake. But then on the other hand of that, and this kind of goes back to what you're saying, is, you know, maybe they already have made that measurement, or maybe Republicans have made the right adjustments to make sure they can't steal it. So now you're getting into that, okay, here's all the cards they can play. And, I mean, are they going to play them all in the next 100 days to try to get rid of Trump? They already tried to put a bullet through his head. So, I mean, all bets are off here as what cards they're going to play, I think, moving forward. And you just highlighted some of them. But I tell you what, I'm so curious. Your channel is, if you want to break from politics, folks, but you still want that kind of itch in your head scratched of just interesting information that provokes thought, I would go follow Jimmy and his Rumble and YouTube channels. What was it for you that made you interested in ancient human history? Was there a certain megalith, or was there what was it for you that you were like, huh, wait a second, we're not being told the truth about ancient human civilization. I want to dig more into this. And then ultimately now you're one of the leading content creators with that subject material.
An interesting question. So back in 20, I've always had an interest in the ancient since I was a kid. I remember reading the Goosebump books where they were talking about the mysteries of the pyramids. And then in 2015, I had gone back to school and I had a knee surgery. And I was basically bed and couch ridden, and I got real depressed and was unhappy with my decision to go get a master's degree. And I basically just started going down the rabbit hole of looking into the Egyptians. I saw Joe Rogan showing up on my feed with Graham Hancock and other people. And I came across this channel. His name is Brian Forrester, where he was discussing these 100 ton stone granite boxes that are called the Serapeum in Saqqara, Egypt. And he was describing on how we were taught that the Egyptians had to use bronze chisels and hammers, or stone hammers and bronze saws, to cut stone. But it doesn't make sense because of the Mohs scale of hardness, that those tools could not effectively cut granite. So I'm like, well, that's interesting. Let me go down this rabbit hole and see for myself. And sure enough, I did some fact checking and saw, oh, my goodness, the mystery is real. We have absolutely no explanation for how they constructed the pyramids. The Egyptians left us with no explanation for how they moved stones that weigh upwards of 1,000 metric tons. For example, there's a statue called the Ramesseum in Luxor, Egypt. It weighed 1,000 metric tons before it was inexplicably destroyed, which is a whole other rabbit hole to go down. But 1,000 metric tons is 2.2 million pounds, and this stone was inexplicably transported approximately 170 miles. The sheer physics behind that goes way beyond anything we've done in modern times. I'll give you a quick example. In 2012, the Los Angeles County Museum of Art moved a 340-ton stone just over 100 miles. It took a year of planning. They had to custom build a 260-foot-long trailer truck that was made up of 198 semi-truck wheels, had 44 axles, and it moved at like 4 miles an hour. And that was known as being the largest project of its kind since the Egyptians built the pyramids. So I look at those details and I'm like, wait a second. So you're saying that the Egyptians somehow moved a stone that was three times heavier than that stone? And they did it with primitive methods? It doesn't make sense. And I'll just wrap up my soapbox real quick because I'll keep talking. But to anyone that's not familiar with the mysteries of the ancients, I'm inclined to think that you're starting to hear more and more about it, whether it's the Joe Rogans of the world, the Graham Hancocks. Even Tucker Carlson has alluded to the mysteries of the Egyptians. And the reason why the interest is growing is because people that are looking into these details as an adult, as opposed to being taught about it when we're 11 years old in like the sixth grade or whatever, you realize that, oh my goodness, we truly have no idea about the most magnificent aspects of our ancient past, that there truly is a missing chapter of human history. And that in itself raises questions because it seems that human civilization right now is going down a very, very dark path that despite how technologically advanced we are, we're as dumb as ever, we're as separated and divisive as ever, and it seems like we're heading down a path to destroy ourselves once again.
Well, and I my theory is the reason why they want to erase ancient human civilization is so they can teach the lie of evolution so that humans don't think that they are a special creation. I would say, to put it as simply as possible, they want to get rid of the idea of divine creation. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Anybody can sit here and observe, wow, look, humans make rocket ships. No other species on Earth builds a rocket ship. I mean, that's just one obvious example. And so they're like, huh, there's something different about us. And so, no, here comes the propaganda. No, you're not different. You just evolved from a monkey turd. There's nothing special about you. You're not different. And so I think that's why they want to remove the truth about ancient history and then give you this lie about evolution. Now, what do you think? Because I'm not as deeply embedded to this as you. I'm kind of just a casual observer. Like, I'm the kind of guy that would go to your channel and be interested in the stuff you're covering. But one of the things that seems to stick out to me is certain patterns where it seems like there is a civilizational reset, maybe like every 10,000 years or something like that. It seems like there is a civilizational reset, whether that's humans doing it to ourselves or maybe there is some sort of a catastrophic event that just in a timeline always happens to Earth. And maybe the secret civilizations know this and they kind of plan things around this. What kind of conclusions have you reached based off of your research and the timeline of all these different megaliths and ancient digs of a pattern as far as civilizational resets?
Well, it's a scientific fact that the Earth goes through periods of cataclysmic events, such as pole shifts, and we're currently underway for a pole shift. You had interviewed, I believe you and I know Alex Jones had, back with that solar flare that happened about a month and a half ago. Ben Davison of the Suspicious Observers YouTube channel, he's SunSpace Weather News on Twitter, and he's covering this more than anybody. But it is a scientific fact that the poles shift, and approximately 12 to 13,000 years ago, there was a geomagnetic pole excursion that caused profound weather changes throughout the world. It reset the Gulf Stream. It caused a deep freeze and then a rapid heating, which was the end of the last ice age, which in itself is a mystery. And if you look at the fact that they're updating runway numbers throughout the world, which are aligned to the compass, for example, if you land on runway 12 left, it's because you're facing 120 degrees on the compass. Well, over the last several years, we've been updating these numbers throughout the world because the poles are shifting at a rapid pace. It's been happening over the last several decades, and it's now accelerating. And let me just clarify, because not everyone, mainstream science will say that's not what's happening here. Here is what is a known scientific fact, which is that the Earth has what's called glacials and interglacial periods, which in over the last 450,000 years, we've had five interglacial periods, which means periods of warming. And these periods of warming last several to tens of thousands of years. And in between them are periods of cooling, which are called glacial periods because the glaciers now grow and cover the continents. And those periods last 70 to 90,000 years. I should say that Elon Musk had alluded to this about a year and a half ago on the Full Send podcast, where he was talking about how ice ages are a deep, deep rabbit hole. And basically what I'm trying to tell you is that pole shifts are what is the missing link and what causes cataclysms on Earth, including the ice ages. And it's the reason why we know so little about our ancient past. It is a scientific fact that humans, as far as our modern cranial capacity, dates back over 300,000 years, and yet we're supposed to believe that we only started doing or created a civilization 6,000 years ago with the Sumerians. That's just not the case. There's ancient sites such as Göbekli Tepe in Turkey that date back almost 12,000 years ago, which if you want to go down a rabbit hole, look into the World Economic Forum, how they're infiltrating archaeological digs around the world and are preventing excavation. I made a few videos on that recently.
Oh, I do want to get into that.
That's a wild one. And this is something people could look into, but it all ties back to the religious aspect. Why are they trying to cancel Christianity? I agree with you entirely that it's like they don't want people to believe in God. They want everyone to believe in science. And what's interesting is that science has become a religion, and that you have so many leading scientists who are atheists, but they believe, like, the human characteristic of humans is that we got to believe in something. It's the way we were designed. So people who don't believe in God believe in science. But it seems to me that the religious texts from around the world do speak of cataclysmic events. For example, the Great Flood out of the Bible. A lot of people aren't aware that that flood story is found on five continents around the world from hundreds of different cultures and religious texts. Clearly, there must be some truth to that. So tying back into what I was just saying about the events of 11 to 12,000 years ago, which is that there was a rapid rise of sea levels of more than 400 feet in a relatively short period of time. So if you take it to the fact that ancient humans were known to live on the coast, I mean, almost half the world's population lives on or near a coast today because of the abundance of resources and travel and all that. And it's not hard to put together the dots, which is that that's what they're talking about. The flood didn't have to cover the Peruvian Andes and the Himalayas, but if it was a worldwide event that was 400-foot rise in sea levels, that would have obliterated civilizations around the world, and I think it all ties together.
Well, I want to get into the excavation, and then I'll ask you a question on something specific if we have time for it. But, yeah, your most recent coverage was about they want to not excavate, what is this, a potential new pyramid discovery. But I think it's important, too, to explain how important these excavation sites are. And you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was excavations that led to us discovering Easter Island. It was excavations that led to us discovering the pyramids in Mexico and in South America, where before they did the excavation, I mean, folks, it's just like a giant forest. I mean, like, it just looks like a normal forest, and then they come in and dig it all up, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is a megalith, been here tens of thousands of years. So talk about this new discovery and why they won't excavate it so that we can see this incredible piece of ancient history.
This is wild. So there are two sites. One is called Göbekli Tepe in Turkey. It dates back 11,600 years ago. And in 2016, there was a partnership announced with the Doges Group, which is a conglomerate of businesses that is a billion-dollar industry, and the CEO is a longtime member of the World Economic Forum. And since they took control in 2018, excavations have been at a near standstill. Yes, there are archaeologists conducting work there today. However, there are hundreds of pillars that are still under the ground, and they have stated that they are going to save that excavation for, quote, future generations, and went on to say that it may be 150 years before they dig it up, which makes absolutely no feasible sense in any kind, because it is literally, this site is 50 times larger than Stonehenge and almost 7,000 years older. You would think you'd want to dig that up. So the other site, the pyramid, which you just mentioned, is a site in Indonesia called Gunung Padang, and it may be as old as 27,000 years. It is a hilltop formation that was geoengineered into a series of five terraces, so kind of like a pyramidal type structure. It's not really a pyramid, but call it a pyramidal-like structure. And the ground-penetrating radar, scientific measurement, has identified a tunnel and cavity that's underneath the ruins there. So the question becomes, okay, when are we going to go dig this up? Well, it turns out that the Ministry of Culture, Education, Research, and Technology in Indonesia is it is assigned by the president of Indonesia, and the minister of that entire department is a global shaper of the World Economic Forum. His name is Nadia Makarem. And they went from 2014 saying that they were willing to allocate, the Indonesian government, I should say, was willing to allocate unlimited funding and resources to dig this up. And then in 2018, this World Economic Forum global shaper takes control, and all of a sudden, the funding is just evaporated, gone. They're not digging it up. So just to clarify for the audience, two of what may be the oldest ancient sites on Earth that stand to completely rewrite our history and debunk the textbooks are at an indefinite standstill as of today, which raises unbelievable questions, which is, why is the World Economic Forum even remotely associated with these sites? And let me just say one last thing, because I get a lot of pushback and the skeptics and everything will say, well, the World Economic Forum doesn't control these sites. And I'm like, wait a second. The World Economic Forum is nothing in itself. It's nothing but a bunch of members that have infiltrated cabinets around the world, corporations, the media, and they're the ones that have the power. So it's the people, the decision-making people, the people that make the decision-making powers at these sites are members of the World Economic Forum, and they are the ones that are choosing not to excavate. The connection is there. It's disturbing, and I'm not sure what to make of it, other than that they're trying to suppress our ancient past.
Well, here's what's amazing, too. It's like, you know, my show is obviously politics, and I kind of remove the curtain on political developments and controls and the shadow hands and influences and everything like that. But, I mean, really, if this is one hand of the corrupt body that tries to control planet Earth, this is the other hand, is what you're talking about. And it's less talked about because it's less in your face. I mean, the Catholic Church will do the same thing. They'll find these historical archaeological sites, and then the Catholic Church will just put a church and say, oh, no, it's ours now. And then the Vatican comes in and steals all the things that get found under the site. And I'm getting off base here, but it's like, it really is incredible how there's this whole wing. I don't even know. I guess you would call it the anthropological secret societies that stop us from knowing ancient history. So it's like, yeah, I focus on politics, but the stuff that you're covering, I'm telling you, folks, it's just as curious, and there's just as much corruption and control over the human mind and consciousness when it comes to them hiding our history. Now, there's all kinds of sites I'm sure that you could talk about with this, but I'm just curious, because there's been a theory that's been going around. Is there an ancient structure or a pyramid or a sphinx even in the Grand Canyon?
That's debatable. To my knowledge, no, it's nothing more than a conspiracy, which I use the word conspiracy. I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I need to see it to believe it. But it is interesting to mention that all the monuments of the Grand Canyon are named after Egyptian gods and relics there. And there has been legends going back more than 100 years that state that there was Egyptian artifacts found there, that there was tunnels with hieroglyphs that were Egyptian. But that being said, I need to see it to believe it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's possible. There are other mysteries that are very profound. And I will mention this really quick, because we're talking about the powers of the world. People should be aware that the most powerful people on Earth are interested in the ancients. For example, the black market of Egyptian antiquities is a like $4 or $5 billion a year industry, which raises questions, because it's like, clearly these billionaires are buying up relics on the black market, almost like Batman, you know, having like this cave of like artifacts. You know, you saw in the first Batman from the 80s with Bruce Wayne showing off, you know, this armor and all this other stuff. And I should also mention that Purdue Pharma, back when they were a thing, you know, the creators of the OxyContin, they had a museum exhibit at the in New York at the Met that was dedicated to them. And they had poured in millions of dollars into Egyptian antiquities. And it raises questions. Why are the most powerful people on Earth so interested in the ancients? And I'm here to tell you that there's something there, that the smartest, most richest, most powerful people on Earth understand that there's real secrets to our ancient past, and there seems to be a suppression of this evidence. I can tell you right now that there is definitive evidence that shows that what we were taught in school about the true history of ancient civilizations has been debunked, and that we were older and more advanced than what we were taught. How old and how advanced is the debatable part, but there's enough to upend our textbooks as it is. And this is the kind of stuff.
Well, ancient Egypt is kind of the keyhole into all of that. And Jimmy, I'm out of time. We got to do this again. Jimmy Corsetti,
let's do it.
Bright insight. I got another guest coming up, but we'll do this again, Jimmy. This is just incredible stuff. And your research is fantastic. All right, folks, we'll be right back.
Been a pleasure.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements, and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law.
And IQs went up 15 points on average. Heart defects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the Deep Earth Crystal Pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
You know, working at InfoWars, you hear a lot of negative things about your place of work. One of the things they like to say about our supplements is we're snake oil salesmen. Well, folks, it ain't snake oil. It's fish oil, and it's incredibly good for you. Ultimate Fish Oil is now on sale, back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. If you only take one supplement, it's likely that's fish oil. It's probably the most popular supplement on Earth at this point for very good reason. People realize how good it is for them, and this is the best stuff on the market. Studies suggest that fish oils and fish oil supplements can slightly lower blood pressure, decrease the growth rate of plaque, and prevent cognitive decline. So whether you're a first-time fish oil shopper or whether you're somebody who has taken fish oil for a while and is looking for the best quality available, go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. It's going to sell out fast because that's what happens when you have fantastic products. Help us fight the global agenda and also improve your health with fish oil. InfoWarsStore.com.
Your cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. And I've got in my hands two products that are absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast, a 360 win. And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, this sale is going to end in about 2 weeks because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word, because without you, we are nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a war against the globalist, and people can't identify who's a patriot and who isn't. We want to identify as pro-human and anti-globalist. We want to let people know we're 1776 Part 2. That's why I designed this amazing 1776 red, white, and blue Gadsden flag shirt so you can support the InfoWar and meet like-minded people everywhere when you wear it. When you wear these shirts, it creates an amazing amount of energy, and it's quite the adventure. So get your 1776 shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com and get your Team Humanity InfoWars limited edition shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is antithetical, the complete opposite of what the globalists are pushing. So get both the Team Humanity and the 1776 Gadsden Snake Shirts limited edition at InfoWarsStore.com right now. Spread the word, meet like-minded people, and fund the 1776 revolution worldwide.
InfoWars.com/show.
Delving deep into the heart of globalist plans, it's Owen Schroyer.
All right, we're about to get real serious with new body cam footage that has come out now, about 25 minutes worth. That 3 minutes that we got before was just cut out of this now longer 25-minute body cam footage. And so we're going to be joined by a veteran, and not just a military veteran, but a veteran of law enforcement as well, the Alpha Warrior, who's going to be breaking this down. And I was so impressed with his breakdown of the first release of the body cam footage. I said, I got to get you on to explain this to my audience. We weren't necessarily anticipating the release of this new body cam footage last night, but now it's going to be an even more important breakdown. Folks, if you like that last guest, and I know you're going to like this next guest, you're going to like my in-studio guest coming up, please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. That's how this show is able to stay on air. Literally, that's it. You're our sponsors, shopping at InfoWarsStore.com. The products are great. I'm a product of the products at InfoWarsStore.com. It's stuff like Nitric Boost for your cardiovascular health. What are you doing for heart health? What are you doing for blood health? If the answer is nothing, then the answer is Nitric Boost. 40% off, InfoWarsStore.com, part of the Save InfoWars mega sale. And I get it. I don't even want to sit here and talk about the products, but we have to fund ourselves to be on air. I'd rather spend this time talking to my guests, but
We need your support. So please, shop at InfoWarsStore.com, get a great product, and keep this show on the air. All right. Alpha Warrior, we spoke, I believe it was Monday night, and we were talking about the body cam footage. Well, now you've got even more to work with. I'm sure you've reviewed it for your own show. But do you want to start with some of the stuff that we talked about Monday, or do you want to just get into now we have even more body cam footage? I guess I would start it by asking you this. Do you think we're going to get more body cam footage? And was there anything new in this recent release that sticks out to you? I know certainly for me there was, but I want to hear it from you.
So I have not had a chance to look at the new footage. So I'm excited to see it, to see if it answers some of the questions or corroborates some of the speculation I had from the original one. So I'm very curious. As far as answering the question, do I think we get more? I think we'll get more. It's just depending, are we going to get all of it? And I think that's the important part, because it's the stuff that they may not want to release that may either create more questions or answer some of the questions that we already have.
Well, I will tell you some of the things that you talked about that just pertain to body cam footage in general. The same things pertain to this. They did have a date there, so there's a little date with a timestamp at the bottom. But here's what's incredible about this. And guys, pull up the images I sent you, or you can dot cam this. So we now know, thanks to this body cam footage, because who knows what we can trust from Secret Service or the FBI? Probably nothing. So we now know, thanks to this body cam footage and other analysis with Eli Crane's video and then the photo that Secret Service put out, there were Secret Service agents not only in that building, that was a headquarters. You can see in the video now that was a stationed headquarters. But then also we now see that the photo of Crooks was from the second story of that building. And so here's the little cement block that he was climbing on. And then you can see it's from this window right here. So, okay, this begs the obvious question. If Secret Service is stationed in the building, and if Secret Service is stationed on the roof, how is it? And now the timeline is it could have been 15 minutes before the first shot was fired that this guy was on the roof assembling his gun and everything else. How is this possible? How is it possible that he's able to be on that roof for more than 10 minutes if Secret Service is in that building?
It's not possible. The only way it's possible is if they allow him to. Because with the amount of time, the amount of resources, and the amount of obstacles that he has to go through to get on that roof, you have more than one opportunity to stop him from doing it. So if he's on that roof, it's because they allowed him to be on that roof.
And that's what I'm saying. And people want to get into all these different debates about, was there more than one shooter, or what does the audio analysis say, or, you know, look at this water tower, whatever it is. I'm sitting here and I'm saying, look, let's look at the obvious here. There was a stand down and now there's a cover up. I mean, let's focus on that. Let's try to figure out what led to that, who was involved in that, because we know that was the case. Now, let's go back to the original body cam footage release, because I'm going to tell you there's really not much else in there. I mean, you might be able to pick up on some things from your law enforcement background of just general communications and stuff, but the 3 minutes from there on the roof is still the most important. Again, like I said, the other stuff is them kind of walking around the grounds and then just an extended conversation on top of the roof. It doesn't answer necessarily any of the questions you originally had. So give your breakdown now of the original 3 minutes that we got that body cam footage earlier this week.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing I'll bring people's attention to, since you briefly covered it already, is the data that's on the film that we're seeing here, on the video that we're seeing here. You see a date and you see a timestamp. Anybody that's ever seen our body cam footage, our video cams, there's a ton of information that's on there, either the officer's name or the unit number, the agency name. Like, there is a bunch of information that's on there. Now, this looks like, you know, like a GoPro camera that he had on his helmet with the timestamp on it, which they're not going to allow. Especially, people got to remember, this isn't a patrol guy. This isn't your just regular rank and file law enforcement. This is part of your elite unit or their version of a SWAT team. So these are guys that have been on the job not only for an extended amount of time, but they've surpassed all the knowledge and experience of what it takes to become on one of these elite teams or these tactical teams. So that's who's on this roof. Where is the information from the camera that, you know, per department policy, you're not going to have any other cameras that are on you, on let alone training in a real life event like this one. The other thing where people say, well, maybe they censored it out. Well, if that's the case, they will blur it. We can't do, like, if it was a document, we can't white something out like it was never there. That we have to do, you could blur it out on a video, you could put a black box over, you know, you can censor it, and then there's more petitions with the court to get that information from not being redacted. But this right here, they're making it seem like this is what it is. So I'm very suspect of the video to begin with. The next thing is, when you look at the position of the body, and, you know, with his head at the highest part, feet at the lowest part, going off the angle of the roof, and you look at the blood that's trailing down there, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but the likelihood that the blood pattern, when it's at towards the bottom, where it does this S pattern from one side to the other side, that's just not likely on an authentic scene where there's this type of blood trail. And some of the markers that I use to make that opinion is, when you see the thicker blood, you see there's a couple of parts where you see a finger that kind of breaks off of it. You know, blood like water will go on the path of least resistance. So if there's a finger that's breaking off, then all the blood would have went that way, or would have went the other way. The other thing people have to understand is the consistency or the thickness of blood is much thicker than water. So it's also going to be harder to change the flow of where the blood's going. This just has the hallmarks of something somebody would do based off their knowledge of
well, let me just pause you right there, guys, and just try to get a stationary shot, if you will. If you go back like 3 seconds, it's a better shot. Now, when you were first explaining this to me on Monday, I'll be honest, I kind of discounted it, and I was like, well, you know, I don't really know if I want to lean into that. It could just be a dirty roof or something. Like, I'm not sure if there's really anything there. But actually, when you look closer here, guys, especially if you zoom in, and again, there might be better angles of this now, and when you review the longer footage, you might get a better idea of what's going on here. But to talk about your theory, at the end of that roof ledge, it actually looks like it drops. Like, look, it doesn't look like it was a flow like a river. It looks like it's literally like drops, like there's almost – like they're not even all touching. So that's what you're talking about. I'm glad the crew is zooming in on this now. So that's what you're saying. You're saying that this flow of blood to you doesn't look right.
It doesn't. Like, where the officer that's in the black SWAT uniform right there, and is right where the light on his rifle is, there's actually a lip that's right there on the roof. And when the blood hits right there, there's a little bit of pooling, but then it continues on the trail. What you would expect there is the pooling at that part, because there is you can see an indentation on the roof that runs kind of parallel. It would be more. You would see that. But this looks like a continuum of where they would drop it. And this is why you have these erratic patterns in the blood. Then as it continues on the way down, blood doesn't react like that to this type of thing. I'm telling you, I'm not going to say it's impossible. I'm just going to say it's very, very unlikely that the pattern we see there is what we would expect to see in that kind of situation, with the variables, a slight angle to the roof, where he was, using their theory on the heat of the roof. That's going to even affect the blood pattern, but it's going to affect it more in keeping it more linear than making it to where it's going to go off the side, because the blood's going to be coagulating as it's going down, which means it's even harder to shift the direction of the blood. So the blood pattern on here is a major hiccup for me. The other thing now, and for those in your show, especially because I know there's a lot of veterans that watch, a lot of law enforcement people that watch, you know, just as a regular officer, one of the most important pieces of equipment that you have on your body is your watch, whether it be military or law enforcement. This is your SWAT team. The watch is it's a critical piece of uniform, because one, it's timing and being in sync. We refer to them. The officer that's wearing the black SWAT uniform doesn't have any watch. The officer that we're watching his body camera footage doesn't have any watch. That's one of those things. I know people may say, well, now you're just getting picky. I'm not getting picky when people understand when it comes to uniform and what's going on here, especially because as you're taking notes and you're referring information, you're going to use that watch as a way to document that time. And people say, oh, you can pull out your phone. You could, but in tactics, we're not, because if you're in a situation where you don't want to illuminate yourself, and turning on your phone would create that. This part of the video, which is interesting, I'll cover it. It's blurring his phone. So we're seeing that the screen's blurred, which is fine. I would expect them to have it blurred. But then there's a part where they unblur when he goes to show the videos to the FBI investigator that's there. It's one of those things where it's either you're going to blur it or you're not. So it's almost like they want to bring your attention to that particular part of the video, which, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me. Also, because you see the rifle here, and the rifle's probably somewhere between maybe...
Well, wait a second. Let's get to the rifle in a second, because there's another important aspect of the cell phone that you pointed out earlier, and then how they unblur it. And this kind of gets me into another question here. So they have it blurred, and then they unblur it. I mean, maybe there was some personal information on there or something, but then it seems like they unblur it because they want you to see the dead shooter, and they put out the video of supposedly the dead shooter's face. Maybe there's some questions with that, but then they blur out the dead body on the roof. So it seems like there's no consistency in what you're supposed to see or you're not supposed to see.
I agree completely. And it just goes to, are they trying to form a narrative? And I know we're not hearing audio on this, but if people remember at the very beginning of this body camera footage, the first statement you hear, and it comes from the FBI agent, is we don't know. And for those that, you know, subscribe to the idea of predictive programming and seed phrases and all that, the first thing we're all introduced to in this clip from where they started at the 3-minute mark is we don't know. So whether it resonates with people or they subconsciously hear it, it's one of those things where all the things that I'm mentioning here, if they were just that single thing, then maybe we could write it off. Maybe we can call it a coincidence. But one of the things that we do in investigations, especially when it comes to homicides, is you have to look at the totality of all the information that's in front of you, even when it comes to circumstantial stuff. And what kind of picture does that paint for you? What kind of opinion does that form for you? And in a situation like this, you just have things that are inconsistent with the uniforms, things that are inconsistent with anybody that's gone to homicide school and studied the blood patterns and blood splatter and blood drainage or been to fatalities if they've never been to homicide school, traffic accidents. You've seen enough blood to know how what you would expect in certain situations. Like I said, not a complete thing, but, you know, the likelihood. Now, to the part on the rifle, when they breach the roof after he's been killed, after the sniper team takes him out, they're going out there. Now, by this time, we know that the spotter and, well, I'll speculate that we know that the spotter and the sniper have kept their eyes on this guy while the team's on their way over there to confirm that the suspect is dead, which means they're not going to see any movements. They're probably going to be seeing some of the blood maybe draining down, depending on what their angle looks like, maybe not. But when that team breaches and they're approaching the suspect, they're going to see a severe wound to his head. If you look at, especially if the sniper team, which most of them are using some type of like 308 Lapua round, it's going to do extreme damage to the head, even if it's not a direct hit. So once they approach the body, they're going to know definitively if this guy's dead or not before they even get to him to do a pulse check, because you still have to touch the body. Once they do that and they know he's dead, why would you move that firearm that far away? Why would you move it at all? You know that you just had an assassination attempt on the president. You know other people were critically wounded. Maybe you do or you don't know that there's a fatality. But you know that the one weapon that's going to have more forensic analysis done to it than anything is this firearm. So why would you compromise that? Once again, it brings me back to, these aren't just regular cops. These are guys that have probably already been detectives. They probably already worked special assignments. They understand the value of not contaminating or disrupting a scene, especially a homicide scene. This kind of brings me to the opinion, well, then why would they? If for some reason there's more going on here than we understand, and well, I'll explain my second here, but if there is more going on, it leads me to believe that they train this more like an active shooter scenario, where you're approaching, you get the suspect, you immediately move the firearm, you continue what's going on, but it just doesn't add up to the experience level which you would think these guys would have. Now, the one thing I do want to say, Owen, just to make sure people understand, I'm not by any means saying that on the date that this is a fake event. I believe there was a legitimate real-life attempt on President Donald Trump's life. I believe two Americans were critically injured, and I believe the first responder, a hero in this country, lost his life that day. I think the reason Trump's alive is because of divine intervention. Now, that being said, it doesn't mean that there's other things that are not going on that are meant to influence the way we see this or the things that we want to believe. And that's why I'm trying to point some of these things out that are here.
Well, and you mentioned the rifle. Okay, so let's go with maybe because they had a couple other events that got Secret Service priority or even local or state police priority. Let's just say they had a guy on that roof who was probably not qualified to be there first, who put the rifle aside. He just didn't know any better. Let's just say that that's the case for the sake of this direction now that I want to go in. I'm yet to see any shell casings. Now, they say they found seven, or excuse me, they say they found eight shell casings on the roof. And even if they wanted to argue, well, okay, they rolled down to the bottom. Well, how is it that they have no, they don't even present this evidence, or we don't see a single shell casing? How do you make sense of that?
That part's interesting. That's why I want to see the rest of the video, because people got to know that the rifle, it's going to eject on the right-hand side. So it's going to eject towards the opposite place of where we see that rifle or where we see the body. But they do show us a pan in that video in that three-minute segment. And when they do show us that, you don't see any casings anywhere. And the other thing is, those guys would not be standing where the shell casings are. And where they're all standing is where you would assume, you know, where you would speculate based on where the ejection port is on that rifle. That's where those shell casings would eject from. So unless every shell casing hit the roof and then rolled down to the ground, which I doubt that's possible. Statistically, that doesn't sound like it's possible because of the way the angles they eject and the way they're going to hit. You're going to get some, they're going to get caught on those little eaves that are raised. You see the same part that makes the blood pool a little bit. That would actually catch a casing or two, if not all of them. So it just doesn't make sense that they're saying they found eight. Like, see, when you're not seeing casings anywhere. And here's the thing. Well, people say, well, okay, Alpha, they probably collected them for evidence. Well, then that means they would have collected the rifle. That means there's a lot of things that you would have seen that were collected there. You're not going to collect one piece of evidence and not collect the evidence.
Correct me if I'm wrong. If they do collect it, they put a line on the where they collected it from so that they can still have kind of a crime scene layout to do a further evaluation. They wouldn't just pick it up and that's that.
No, you would, at a minimum, you would either see plastic placards with numbers or letters. If they didn't have placards, you would see, you know, some type of spray paint that they could spray paint around them. Although on a homicide, you probably wouldn't want to use that because you don't want to compromise the surface. But you would at least see some type of marking to answer your question where evidence was at.
Well, I do look forward to see you break down the rest of the video. Again, the 3 minutes that we've already seen is pretty much the meat of it. Is there anything else you want to get into as far as the original video or any other anomalies you want to point to before I ask you any other questions?
One thing I'll say is because let me address the water tower thing, because so many people are trying to put meaning behind that. And this is what I will say. Do I think they should have had a SWAT team up there? Absolutely. I know there's some military men that are snipers that are making, you know, comments to that. What I will say to address that is military sniper teams, even though they have the experience of being snipers in combat in the military, law enforcement still has policies to where it doesn't always add up the same. At a minimum, since you didn't have a sniper team up there, you would have still had law enforcement at the base of that water tower. Because if you're not going to use it, you're going to make sure nobody else uses it. So that's my opinion as far as the law enforcement aspect of the tower. Now, as far as the conspiracies that are going out about a shooter being up there and then using a zip line, here's the thing, you guys. One, there is no tactical zip line that's in existence, as far as I know, to where you would be able to retract it and pull all your evidence. For those that want to subscribe that there was a shooter on the tower, we would have saw evidence right there. And if there is a second shooter on the tower, it would be a shooter that whoever's behind this would not want anybody to know about, which means you wouldn't have a zip line, maybe a rappelling system because those can retract. But then it goes against some of the speculations and conspiracies that are out there. The other thing is you have to get down from there. And at that point when this is all breaking out, and we know that that compound had a lot of law enforcement there, you would assume that somebody would have saw something unless they're trying to conceal that too. So just, and the other thing too is when they do the autopsy on Corey's body, when they break down the crime scene, there's things that we do out there that allow us to, within a very precise accuracy, to determine the angles of where these impacts were, even to finding them in objects. Like, you know, I know there was the crane that was hit, you know, there's the ground, but you would be able to tell because that is the highest point in that immediate area. Based on the trajectory during the forensics of the scene, you would know that somebody was up on the tower. So if you had someone there and there was a purposes of concealing the quote unquote real shooter, then you would give it away. So, you know, and I do entertain that the idea that there is a potential second shooter, but just people understand that if that's the case, it's going to be somebody that's positioned closer to the angles of what the patsy in that type of scenario would look like. It rules out the tower in every type of circumstance, and I hope people understand that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And again, I'm not closed-minded to the potential of a second shooter in all of this, but everything has to add up. And if so, somebody shooting from the water tower, there's just no evidence. There's just no forensic evidence. Yeah, somebody there says water tower. Yeah, people are running to the water tower. But we have to go off forensic evidence. And I mean, look, obviously it's tough to reach conclusions because this whole thing is so crazy, but we have so much video from the day that there are certain things that we can basically put into a formula and say, okay, here's what's possible and here's what's not. And so, yeah, I completely agree that the angle of whatever shooters there were, they had to come from somewhere within a short degree of an angle from where the shooter on the roof was. I mean, I even look at the windows and I'm like, and I don't know if you've done this analysis, but I even look at the windows and I'm like, I don't even know if the angles make sense with the windows. The only thing I could see making sense with a second shooter is if the second shooter was there to take out the shooter on the roof, because the angles do all align from my best analysis with the position of the shooter on the roof.
Absolutely. Like if somebody asked me, where would there be a second shooter if I believe there would be one? If you look at an aerial view of that area, the farthest building in that lot opposite of where the shooter is also the highest portion of that building. And even in the body camera, there's a part where they show the telephone pole that's back there. If you had a shooter that was roughly, you know, at the farthest part or the highest part of that building in line with that telephone pole, it would give you the angle that you would need to mimic that. That's where I would say it would be. But you did remind me of something I did want to cover as well. The FBI agent, when he's interviewing these SWAT officers, he's holding a notepad with his own phone, but he never uses it. So why are you there doing an interview, but you never jot down notes? Is this one of those things that it's a curiosity that when you add it to the totality of things that are going on, it just doesn't make sense to me. And here's the other thing. Anybody that's ever fired an AR rifle or an AR style rifle, you know how loud those things are. Even if you're outdoors, you have a window that's right there that obviously it's already open because we saw the previous photo of when they took pictures of them going over that retaining wall. How do you not hear that if you're in there? And if you are in there and you hear that and you look out the window, how do you not quickly eliminate the threat from that position? How's he able to get that many shots off when we know that those personnel right there to where that the rifle they're showing us on that roof does not have any type of suppressor on it? You know, the barrel is open on that rifle, which means it's going to be as loud as it can possibly be. Why didn't anybody in that room address it?
And it was two bursts. It wasn't even one burst where you said, like, oh, it was a delayed response. It was two bursts. Obviously, there was a stand down somehow in that building. I mean, folks, this is crazy. They're in the building. They're literally in the building. The body cam footage shows it's a station headquarters for the event. I mean, how in the hell is it possible that he's up there for 10 minutes? And I would say, too, it looks like at this point that that's probably the bag that he had his gun in. And we're talking 10 minutes to assemble the gun and everything. All right, quickly, I'm out of time here. Actually, you know what? Let's do five more minutes. Let's just do five more minutes because I want to ask you just basic detective questions that I just want to get on the record from you here that Christopher Wray refused to answer or didn't refuse to answer. Maybe he was just outright dishonest about, or maybe he's just that incompetent. All right, we're going to do five more minutes. Then my next in-studio guest comes up. Alpha Warrior is our guest. Military experience, law enforcement experience, breaking down this body cam footage.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I only encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word, I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful, keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life, while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
We take some brain force, and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra is now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Making talk radio great again. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, we got five more minutes with the Alpha Warrior, alphawarrior.tv. Alpha Warrior X on X is where you can follow his reporting, and I'm sure I'll be following up with him. We'll probably speak again as more information comes out. But Alpha Warrior, this one is kind of obvious, but I just want to get your statements on the record here. Christopher Wray, during his hearing this week, claims he talked to the counter-sniper teams. Specifically, he says he talked to the counter-sniper that fired the kill shot that killed the shooter on the roof. But then he says he doesn't know where he took the shot from. Is that even possible? I mean, if you're a detective and you're analyzing a crime scene and somebody involved takes a lethal shot, are you going to try to figure out where they took the shot from?
Absolutely. Because he wants to make sure that the statement that the sniper has given him is consistent with where the sniper was. And for him to know whether his sniper team's given him an honest response or not, he needs to know how everything was situated. So, no, I don't believe that. Had he said he doesn't remember, which I wouldn't have believed, it just would have been more believable. But, no, I don't think he was telling the truth in that statement.
Well, I would say if it was a test, Kim Cheadle got a 0%. FBI Director Ray got maybe like a 5%. So he did better than 0%. He gets a 5% grade. Both of them failed miserably. Cheadle has resigned since. I doubt Ray. Well, Ray said he's not going to resign. All right, so where are you at today? We're now 13 days post-assassination attempt on Trump. And I do believe we'll still have more information that might help us get a clear picture of what happened that day. And I even suspect, because if you look at some of these new videos coming out, which at the beginning I was so frustrated, I was like, who has a cell phone from 2008 that records this 480p footage that we keep seeing everywhere? And then finally, we actually get some HD footage. And in the footage, you can see there's dozens, if not hundreds, of people filming. So I still think there's a lot more footage that we'll get access to. Why does TMZ cut the video when it's like the most important aspect before he fires a shot? So there's a lot of things that I think we may still see. But what – have you reached any conclusions, or where are you leaning into certain questions, or what do you think about everything that happened that day, just 2 weeks after?
Well, one of the things that I hope our politicians FOIA, or anybody can has the ability to FOIA, is in that 3 minute body cam footage. Earlier in the video, the FBI agents talking about how they have two people detained, and that these people were filming the shooter, then everybody running, then the shooter, then everybody running. Says maybe they're involved, maybe they're not. Well, if the statements are true that they recorded this, we need a FOIA that video so we can actually see video of this alleged shooter taking the shots. If you want to eliminate the conspiracy or the speculation.
Do you think they have that video as evidence? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, they have that evidence. Absolutely. If you detain people and at the moment you're detaining them based on their own statements, you're trying to figure out whether they're involved or not. At a minimum, you're going to collect those devices. You're going to Cellbrite them. You're going to collect what's on them regarding this particular event before you release those things back to them. So they have that information. And the other thing our politicians need to do is, you know, I understand they're subpoenaing Ray. I understand they're subpoenaing Cheeto. But if somebody died on an operating table of the hospital, yeah, maybe you subpoena the owner of the hospital for policies. But you're going to be subpoenaing the doctor and the people that were present to get these answers. So we need Chuck Grassley and these other people that are bringing these people in to testify subpoena the case agent. Every one of these operation plans that were given to Secret Service from all different entities that day have the case agent and the assistant agent. Bring those people in. All those people have real-time information on exactly what happened. So if you truly want to pursue the truth, those are the people you need to talk to.
Well, I'll tell you what, and I could have announced this earlier, and I'm not sure if it's officially been filed. My lawyer and I are filing a FOIA request with the police departments that were on the ground that day and the Secret Service. I'm not sure if it's been filed yet. I'll ask and find out. I'm pretty sure everything you mentioned is even in the FOIA because we went through it pretty thoroughly to make sure we had as much in there as possible. But maybe I'll even send you a screenshot of the things we're asking for and if there's anything you think we should add to it. But we are sending a FOIA request officially to Secret Service and the police for footage, audio, and pretty much everything. There's about 10 different bullet points. All right, Alpha Warrior, thank you for your time. We'll be in touch.
God bless.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply. Especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
The show that's a beacon for patriots worldwide. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
So this is interesting. Now, this is normally the Veterans Call-In Show, and we only do veterans guests. We're making an exception today for Kenny Webster because of all the great work he's done for veterans with Wheelchairs for Warriors. There's actually, you guys were doing your big Christmas push when I was in prison. And so that's actually how I listen to your show, Walton and Johnson, every morning. I think you guys, what is it, 7 to 10? Is that the right time?
5:30 to 10 a.m.
5:30 to 10 a.m.
4.5 hours.
You never know when you're in solitary confinement. You don't even know what time it is.
Yeah.
You're just kind of, you know.
And you know how radio works. Not every affiliate carries the whole show.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. So this affiliate might have just been like 6 to 10. Point is, this gentleman and his show, Walton and Johnson, was my main, if not only, source of news at that time when I was in solitary. I had my little twist up radio. That's how you charged it, was you literally twisted it to give it battery.
Built for hurricanes and stuff.
Built for prisoners, whatever the case is. So it was your show, Walton and Johnson, which is funny, informative. I listened every day. And then I get out, and I think I sent you a message. That was like, "Hey man, I'm great to see your Twitter account. You kept me sane when I was in prison. This is awesome." And now here you are,
dude. Career highlight being on InfoWars. This to me as a radio guy, I'm not often in front of a camera. It's very awkward for me. We do parody and silly voices. And
you get to come in looking disheveled and, you know, you don't have to shave or anything.
Yeah, this is the first time I've worn pants in months. Oh, and I mean,
I actually believe that from some of the things I've heard on your show.
But you're part of our research because we're like a combination of comedy and real energy, you know, real news and stuff. But part of our show prep is looking at what you do, what Alex does, what Paul Joseph Watson does, people affiliated with you guys. You guys are so much farther ahead of everybody else right now on what happened in Butler, on what is going, scrubbing the internet, the Soviet-esque rewriting of Kamala's biography. And we're not journalists. We're just, you know, comedians.
Have you
radio.
Had to deal with anything? Because you guys are syndicated. Have you guys had to deal with any of the censorship problems? Has anybody ever tried to get you off air?
It's a great question. For years, people turned to the internet for less censored media. And then when the COVID thing hit, suddenly it was old school media. You guys are, you're doing new media and old media because we're on the radio right now, right?
Yes.
So the only thing we can't do on our show is swear. Whereas like on the internet, on YouTube, you can't talk about the vaccines. You can't talk about the election results. You can't talk about Biden's broken brain. I once got a flag on YouTube for predicting the results of the California gubernatorial runoff. I said, I don't think Larry Elder's going to win. And I woke up the next morning and YouTube said, you ought not post anything for 60 days. And then Larry Elder didn't win. Lo and behold, I was just predicting what I thought would happen.
Why can't you do that?
Wow, that's a great question.
They didn't tell you.
Why can't you cast doubt on the vaccines? I mean, it doesn't...
Well, we know why that is. They got to get their money. They got to get their mandates.
Right. It's probably the same thing with California, you know? Yeah, why can't you make an election prediction? If I knew the answer...
Soon you just can't cover an election.
No.
That'll be what they do. Maybe that's their move, is you just can't cover an election. Oh, Kamala Harris wins 50 states. Hey, I kind of question that.
Right.
Shut down.
One of the things I think that keeps people from coming after us the way they come after you guys is that we claim to not be taken seriously. You know, we inject comedy and humor into what we're doing. And so people look at us and they're like, they're doing boner jokes about politicians. It's fine. But it's the same news you guys are doing.
Well, that's what was so great for me, because when I'm sitting, when I can't leave my cell for 4 weeks, like when I was put in general for the last week or so of my sentence, then you get access to a TV and, you know, you get to talk with some other people. There's a little more room for trying to figure out what's going on. Now, I didn't have access to a phone, but other people did. So they'd be like, hey, did you hear this? This guy on the phone just told me. But so I'm sitting in there and you got to, because I used to produce radio as well when I was younger.
Where
and you guys, St. Louis,
okay,
KFNS,
right.
KXFN. And so, but I used to do, you guys do like segment bits. Like we used to do the, like, you know, the Kill Mary bang bit and stuff like that. You guys do some bits like that. So it was like, it was great for me though, because I'm just sitting in the cell and I'm laughing, but then I'm also getting information that I wouldn't be getting anywhere else. Like when Speaker Johnson was finally chosen, and just it was other news like that. So, I mean, you were my main source of news for at least 4 weeks.
Yeah, I mean...
You're goofy ass.
Thanks, man. It's a great honor. That is very cool to me. I think, I hate to compare us to the left, but if we were the left, I think that we're sort of like the Daily Show if you guys were CNN. And that's the worst comparison that's ever been made on this network. But, you know, that's what it is we're doing parody and satire for people that get their news from Breitbart. I used to write for Breitbart for years. In fact, my mentor is very good friends with your mentor. Mancow Muller was the guy that got me into radio. And I think he's been on this channel before many times.
He was on with Alex after Rush Limbaugh died. That was the last time Mancow was on. He did a great interview, about an hour long. But yeah, he came on with Alex after Rush died. That was the last time he was on.
You, Rush, and Mancow all started your careers doing radio in Missouri.
That's true.
Isn't that weird?
That's true.
Yeah.
It's a decent state.
And then you and I are also friends with mutual friends with another guy from Missouri, Austin Peterson.
Yes, and he has a morning radio show now, too. Dana Lash started on St. Louis airwaves as well. There's a lot of people that have come out of St. Louis.
Yeah, and people in the, you know, the coastal elitist write off the flyover state media people as being so irrelevant. But everybody we just mentioned came from nothing and now has a huge audience and influences millions of people. And you know, like a lot of people don't even know who we are. We have a million listeners a week.
I was stunned. I mean, because when I heard your show, I was like, this is, I mean, you guys do a great, your production level is as great as it gets. I mean, I could tell you guys were pros. Like production level as good as it gets when it comes to syndicated radio. And so I'm like, wow, these guys must be huge. How have I not heard of them before?
Yeah. The media doesn't, you know, the liberal media doesn't think we exist. There have been many news stories written about us. And the headline is always, local radio personalities do blah, blah, blah. Steve Johnson, the guy that created the show, our show's been around since 1983. He is a genius. He's like the Harry Shearer or the Seth MacFarlane.
Is that your co-host?
Yeah.
That does the voices.
Right, exactly. Okay. So a little behind the scenes here. If you listen to the radio, one of the reasons we call our audience the 10%ers is only 1 in 10 people is going to understand the humor, is going to understand the politics, is going to appreciate the delivery. Steve is, I mean, just brilliant at making his voice sound like anything. And he's doing characters that argue with each other, and they have very intricate biographies. We forget sometimes they have birthdays and family members. Like, when you got out of prison, one of the things you and I talked about is like, yeah, Owen's out. He wants to meet Kenny and Billy Ed. And I was like, well, win, lose on that one. Billy Ed's not really a real guy, but
I was upset.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, how? But that's how I knew it was such a high quality thing. You can tell the genius of Steve just by the high production level. But you know what you're talking about here is most. How do I explain this? When you look at people that are going to vote for Trump,
yeah,
it's the people that they don't want you to talk about. It's the average American that lives in what they call the flyover states. And they just pretend like you don't have an opinion, you don't have a vote, you don't matter because you don't follow Hollywood and you don't follow the cool hip-hop culture and you don't go to the Olivia Rodrigo concert. And so they just assume you don't matter. That's actually the average American.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't get invited to cocktail parties. A lot of we do a lot of regional politics. You guys do national stuff. We're a regional show. So we're big in New Orleans. We're big in Baton Rouge, Houston.
Yeah, I picked you up out of Baton Rouge.
Right. Memphis. This is where our audience is at. The local politicians in those towns know us. They hate us. They've tried to make our life. We notice when we go through the airport in these parts of the country, we have trouble traveling in places where we're known and then not in places where we're not known. It's like, I can't traveling. You know, it's like, that's weird. We get randomly flagged at the Shreveport airport, Denver. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And sometimes it's a coincidence. Sometimes it's not, Owen. You know what I mean?
It's rarely a coincidence. Are you sure they're not stopping you because you forgot to put pants on?
I mean, that could be it. Apparently, that's a touchy.
That might be the one.
But now nudists are a protected class.
That's true.
Conservatives are not.
Just say you're a tranny like the new Olympic promoters.
How about that, dude? They're really leaning into the anti-Christian stuff. People are already defending this on social media. A transvestite carried the Olympic torch.
Is that what that was? Because I didn't. I saw him put it on the screen. I didn't see that.
The final
torch was a tranny.
I don't know what order it came in because I've been traveling all day. I did another TV show yesterday. Your buddy
Being
Alex Stein.
Yeah,
I was with Sarah Gonzalez, Alex Stein. They told me to tell you hi. They're all friends and fans. I don't know if your audience knows.
That's nice. That's nice of them.
And I guess Alex was just on their show on one of their channels, one of their shows.
So they had the last Olympic torchbearer was a transgender, and then but see here's what's so crazy about it. And you mentioned this. It's like. This isn't just something where they kind of throw.
It's so weird, dude.
Oh
this is
my gosh.
This is so demonic and gross.
I'm surprised that wasn't used as a well. You know what? We'll just.
Yeah, I know. We know what you're saying. No, we know.
With the flame. With the flame.
it's the.
Oh my! I'd be like, I'm not going to touch that.
No,
I'm not touching that.
The joke writes itself. Go ahead, people in the comment section. There's another one. There's a bearded lady, and then they did a thing with the Last Supper.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. But that's what I'm saying. This isn't like some amalgamation. It's like, oh, it just happens to look like. No, they sat down and they said. How can we offend Christians? How can we blaspheme the Last Supper? Like, how can we write this in and then make it something that's our own?
Right. And you know, to me, Owen, I'm not offended easily. I've seen Taliban beheading videos and, you know, cartel shootouts and stuff like that. I've been shocked before. It doesn't take much to shock me. The reason this bothers me, it's not that it's supposed to be insulting to me because you can't hurt my feelings.
Well, and you're based out of Houston, right?
Right. It's just that
there's
I understand.
There's some craziness in Houston.
Nuts. Absolutely. It's human trafficking capital of America. The reason this concerns me is I know what the intended consequences are. The intended consequence is to normalize pedophilia. It's to normalize child grooming. It's to normalize sexualizing our kids. So there's the bearded. Like, what is the point of this? Is this what French values are? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Apparently.
Maybe? I don't know.
Right. And you know what else is great about
this? Are there a bunch of trannies in France? No, I didn't know that.
You know.
They found every single one is what they did.
I got to think there's more, Owen.
We're going to find every single transgender individual in France, and we're going to make him a part of this Olympic opening ceremony.
But, you know, I also try to see the silver lining. I'm an optimist. One of the other torchbearers was newcomer Trump supporter Snoop Dogg.
Oh, really?
We've got
in France?
Yeah, apparently he was part of it, yeah.
Well, he might be the one that's going to take the torch and bring it to L.A. when they come here, and I think it's 2026.
I haven't watched any of it, and it's not that it's beneath me. I've just had a busy week doing stuff. Because I do get into watching this stuff.
I do like this stuff. I like watching people who are great at what they do compete. I do. I like watching people that have mastered their craft, whether it's an athlete or a musician. Do you think he's high?
How did Snoop Dogg, like, how much willpower did it take for him to not make a joke that he's smoking a joint?
Oh, yes.
You know,
that's even better than the tranny joke.
Because he had to think of it. I mean, no offense to Snoop Dogg.
Well, it would almost be just like a reaction.
He's a three-hit wonder, right? Like, he raps, he smokes weed, and then what else does he do?
He carries the Olympic torch.
And he hangs out with Martha Stewart.
I'm surprised it wasn't even just a muscle memory. Like, he just got it and just immediately, oh, wait, oh, this isn't a... But no, so the Olympics come here 2026, and then they actually, the United States was just awarded the 2032 Olympics, I think, in Salt Lake, too.
Dude.
I think it was 2032. And I see this, and I'm like, please, don't look at what the French did for this opening ceremony and think, we've got to go further. Please.
I don't know.
But it's in L.A., so, I mean, who knows? Gavin Newsom might, you know, get up there and bring out the Dodgers trannies and...
You always wonder if these cultural phenomenons are going to red pill people. And I'll give you an example that everybody in your audience probably remembers. We all know when the women's gymnastics team got raped by the doctor. Like, really sick, disgusting stuff.
Nassar, they covered it up.
And then, the less covered, I mean, it was a blip on the newsreel, was all these female Olympic gymnastic stars coming out and saying, the FBI covered this up. Now, as conservatives and libertarians and populists and nationalists that watch this show, who watching this show right now doesn't hate the FBI? Well, there was a very fascinating moment not that long ago between now and the last Olympics where every one of these girls that we're going to watch over the next couple of weeks got in front of cameras and said, hey, you know, without saying it, conservatives were right about the FBI. My question for you, Owen, do you think America remembers that?
No. And this is the incredible power that the mainstream media has that I think they're starting to lose. They're not, it hasn't been completely lost yet. It's starting to slip, right? It's starting to slip through their fingertips, though, and they know it. And that's why internet censorship is so important.
Ugh, look at this guy. No chin. Oh, my God.
If they don't, they've had the power in the past. Not as much anymore, but they've had the power in the past where if they don't cover something, it doesn't happen.
Right.
It doesn't exist.
That's it. And it's, you know, you could call it Orwellian or Soviet-esque. So many examples this week.
Well, Kamala isn't, the borders are.
How about that? Isn't that amazing? And it's not hard to find this stuff. CNN reported on it. It's been mentioned.
It's everywhere.
It's been mentioned in congressional documents.
Kamala Harris didn't promote the Minnesota Freedom Fund. There's a literal tweet. She put the link out and said, donate.
Right. Or how about her bailing out the rioters?
Send the link.
Because now they're saying that never happened. Like, no, it happened. It happened and they bragged about it.
I just, you know, it's so strange. And I have, I'm sure you do too. I have liberal friends, leftist friends, Democrat friends. And I don't know, they're not like extreme leftists, but at times I sit here and I'm like, what? Like, how do you just like being lied to? I mean, I don't understand the psychological phenomenon that goes in your head, because this is with the whole borders are situation. And I mentioned this earlier. This is kind of the thing that goes unnoticed. On one side, the Democrats are saying most secure border ever. We've done the best work at the border ever. Forget about, I know it's in your head. We know 18 million have crossed. But just, okay. So Democrats on one side are saying it's the most secure border ever. But then they're saying Kamala Harris had nothing to do with it.
I know. I've been thinking about this all week.
So it's like, is it good? Or it's like, you obviously want to separate Kamala Harris from the border because you know it's bad. But then over here, you're telling us how great it is. So you think you'd want her to own it.
Isn't that amazing? I've been thinking about it all week. On one hand, they're telling you the border's fine, it's no problem, and they fixed it. Because Biden, that was one of his talking points this past week, is guys, lower numbers now.
It was this morning. This morning he said that.
And then on the other hand, they're like, well, Kamala had nothing to do with it.
Even though here we are with a meeting where I'm telling her that she's in charge, or they have this excuse, they say, well, she was in charge of the diplomatic relations, and she was in charge of getting down to root causes. Okay, so what'd she do with that?
Right, exactly.
Okay, so fine, I'll go with that. She had nothing to do with the actual border security. She was getting to root causes and diplomatic reasons. So what was the result of that?
Exactly.
Nothing. Bubkiss.
But then, you know, to wheel everybody away from the black pill moment that we're having right now, the awesome thing about what you're saying is that this week, for the first time in my life, I've never seen this before, PolitiFact getting fact-checked on this, PolitiFact gets Alex Jones, Trump, Elon Musk. I can't think of three more important populists right now in this country. And we owe Elon a thank you for this one. I've never seen PolitiFact get fact checked. Guys, it's over. The curtain's been removed. The average people saw Biden fail at that debate, and now they see PolitiFact being corrected. Have you ever heard this before? Glenn Greenwald claims a lot of these fact-checking websites that partnered with Facebook and Meta and YouTube are actually started by former intelligence officers. Now, why is that?
That can't be, even though they were all working together. And we even found that out, that they were demanding what be censored in this quote-unquote portal that they were communicating in. Well, and you know, here's the thing with Musk, too.
Right.
And you know, people have their issues with Musk, and that's fine. But if you look at the one issue that you just brought up, it freeing formerly Twitter, freeing X,
right,
to allow actual independent journalism, independent research and analysis to take place, real fact checkers. Look, the community notes aren't perfect, but I mean, it used to be if you were a left winger and you lied, you would never get a fact check.
Never.
You would never get a community never. Note. Now all these people that are putting out the propaganda, Harris never promoted the Minnesota Freedom Fund. They put the community note right under it with the link to her tweet.
Isn't it awesome? And then Biden comes out, I don't know, what was it, a month or two ago, he said, don't trust anything on X. X is misinformation, malinformation, disinformation. Where did he put out his resignation letter? Where did he say?
He might not have known.
No, you're right. That's fair.
I don't know if he had anything to do with that.
Absolutely. One of my favorite PolitiFact.
He was in the Bacta tank or whatever.
He's
favorite. Like in an iron lung. They're like, all right, Biden, tap twice if you resign. And somebody's on the other side like, oh, that was twice. He's resigning.
He's in the same coffin they had Han Solo in. Like,
yeah,
wake him up.
That's right.
One of my favorite PolitiFact moments, and I went back and looked at it today. Love Ron Paul. One of my heroes. Ron Paul famously said, back before 1913, we didn't have income tax. PolitiFact said mostly false. Jim Webb, I don't know if you remember him, was a Democrat primary candidate in 20... Oh, they found it. No, that's a different one. Jim Webb was a Democrat primary candidate in 2016, made the same point at a debate with Hillary and Bernie and Lincoln Chafee, whoever the candidates were. PolitiFact goes, no, that's correct. Now, you can find those two things on PolitiFact's website. How is it false when Ron Paul says it, but it's true when a Democrat said it? I mean,
wow.
Come on, dude.
I didn't know that. Well, but again, it just shows you it's all propaganda, and that's why I'm just sitting here. I'm like, so liberals like to be lied to.
100%.
And then they like to lie to you. I mean,
yeah.
It's like that's the game they play. But here's what's so dangerous about the Kamala thing, which frustrates me, is, and again, this is why they want to separate her from the border. It's like, you see these liberals celebrating her candidacy. Why? Because she's a woman and because she has dance videos? I mean, so what? I don't give a damn. She looks cool. She feels cool. I feel like I have a margarita with her at the bar. Well, what if her policies destroy your life? What if her policies make you poor? What if her policies starve you?
Right.
Like, they can't even make the... It's like they really do have this separation and they cannot even comprehend that this individual has policies that are going to hurt you.
Do you think it bothers liberals that Kamala was telling us a month ago, Joe's fine? And
no,
now.
Doesn't bother them one bit.
I mean, how, though? Because obvious lie.
I shouldn't say that, actually. I take that back. Because I don't know if you've seen, but MSNBC and CNN have been like having these like think tank conversations with liberals.
Yeah.
And actually, all of them are upset. CNN had a focus group that they aired, and they said, yeah, we're actually upset that, you know, we voted for Biden and now we don't even get to vote for our nominee. Before that, they did a focus group of women in Wisconsin. They said, well, how do you feel about Kamala? She could be the first woman president. They were like, no, we don't like Kamala. We'd never vote for Kamala. So I don't know. I think that, you know, we tend to find the extreme left get represented when it comes to policy and then when it comes to some of these people that get a following on X. But I don't know. I think that there's a lot of lefties out there that really are turned off by all of this. I don't know if you saw the Dane Cook video.
No.
Cook just did a very vanilla video just saying, hey, guys, I'm not really looking for who you're voting for, but just I'm just curious, you know, where are you guys at politically? These last 2 weeks have been crazy. Just drop a comment. I'm just curious. Let's find out where my fans are at politically. Like 50% of the comments were, I used to be Democrat. I'm voting Trump.
Yeah.
So I think people really are just sick of it. And like you said, when we were talking earlier, after he took that bullet and stood up and said fight, I mean, it was kind of like, I mean, even Zuckerberg was like, that's kind of badass.
Yeah. Dane's another one. I think they tried to cancel him because he's 50 and his girlfriend's 25 or something like this. Like, come on.
That's what
you're mad at him for. Right?
Of all the things. I can't even.
Do you think Obama likes Kamala?
Like, no, I don't think any of them like each other, to be honest.
Because something that sometimes gets thrown out is Obama, Kamala's the female Obama, and then she giggles on TV and talks about the wheels on the bus. And if you were Obama,
Venn diagram,
would you want her to be the female you?
The significance of time is that time is actually insignificant when you're thinking about the passage of time.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply. Especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Birth defects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
America is waking up to the sad and painful fact that we've been under a multinational, globalist, deep state intelligence agency controlled coup for decades in this country. We didn't have full control 30, 40 years ago, but they're really attempting full control now, and that's where we are. And InfoWars has engaged in the best long-term analysis of the enemy operation and predicted the resistance movement would form against it and the fact that we would have major successes against the enemy, but they would then double, triple, quadruple down. That's where we are now. So it's more important than ever that InfoWars stay on the air. I just want to thank you all for your support and spreading the word. It's more important than ever that we get funding. We're trying to make it easier for you to fund us by simply going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting great products that enrich you and your family's lives. I want to just encourage you all to not forget that without you, we won't be here. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today, and I thank you. If you don't get a high-quality gravity-fed filter from InfoWarsStore.com, please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. And there's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure gravity-fed water filtration system for 10% off. That's huge because there's not much markup in these because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure water filtration systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all gravity-fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
The most powerful InfoWars life formula yet, DNA Force Plus, is now back in stock for 25% off while supplies last. This elite formula contains the most cutting-edge enzymes, potent antioxidants, and traditional naturally occurring ingredients to protect the vitality of your very DNA. The powerhouse ingredients in DNA Force Plus include QQQ, CoQ10, organic reishi mushroom, astragalus root, rhodiola root, and an array of even more incredible antioxidants and extracts carefully chosen to help support healthy heart function while promoting energy production down to the cellular level. Provide your cells and DNA with the protection they need and try a bottle of DNA Force Plus today for 25% off. Or for an additional 10% off, grab the combo pack with DNA Force Plus and Body Soul Support. These offers and so much more are
InfoWars.com/show.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes.
It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
Eddie Webster in studio. I'm telling you, folks, funny, informative, his show, Walton and Johnson. And he also has another show, too. So you're doing, what are you doing, like 5 hours of radio a day?
Five and a half. The morning show is more regional and national news. And then in the afternoon, I do a show just for Houston that's really local politics and Texas politics. And something very interesting happened this week in Houston. I don't know if a lot of people have picked up on this. The most powerful...
Shejack?
Well, don't get me started on that. But no, I was going to say Lena Hidalgo.
She's at Disney World, isn't she?
Well, the most... Right. That's what we think. I don't know if that was
She's
a meme.
She's prancing around.
I thought that was a meme.
It does look photoshopped. It does look fake.
Okay, so I don't know where she is. But for those of you that aren't from Texas, you might not know who Lena Hidalgo is or what a county judge is. The county judge in Texas isn't a judge. Like, not like a, with a gavel and all. It's like the executive in charge of your county, like the mayor of the county. And the most powerful county, the most powerful elected Democrat in the state of Texas is a young millennial socialist who got elected by accident because she was down ballot from Beto. And this week, Kamala shows up in Houston this week. And oh, there she is with her Beto boyfriend.
No way. She's got a whitey too?
It's
they all, why do they all date crackers? It's true.
You know what the kink is? I'm going to be careful about this because I know we're on terrestrial radio. I think for some of these alpha Latina socialist politicians, it turns them on to control a white man. That's just a theory I have. Because look at AOC.
They all look gay, too. Like, they all come off as gay.
There's this famous photo.
AOC's husband. I mean, come
100%.
On. Let's be real.
Have you ever seen?
He's not straight.
Have you seen the famous photo of him holding an iPhone? I didn't write this joke. There's a meme where he's holding the phone like a camera. And underneath it, it says, here's AOC's boyfriend doing his favorite sexual position.
Filming her.
Just classic, right? But, you know, anyway, Lena is missing in action this week. The socialist, my buddy.
I should be a Democrat.
My friend Michael Berry calls her the Commandante of Harris County. It's the biggest county in Texas.
Well, she's incredibly corrupted.
100%.
And I know you know Marissa Hansen. She's dug into this money they have going to offshore bank accounts.
A lot of weird stuff.
Crazy.
Yeah, Marissa's an independent journalist from Houston. She's kind of controversial. And I only know her from Twitter. I've never met her in real life. But, I mean, she has broke some very big stories.
She brings the receipts. They literally have offshore bank accounts.
Right, exactly. And
you're like, what the? Offshore bank accounts?
People.
Oh, don't worry about that.
But the other thing that's so remarkable about Lena is she's out trying to raise money right now on the heels of this hurricane we just had. For the last time we had a big crisis in Houston was the pandemic, and every top staffer in her office got indicted for doing what's called a bid rigging scheme. Another way to describe this would be they stole money that was intended to be used for a COVID vaccine outreach. The University of Texas wanted to handle what I think was ended up being $12 million in COVID vaccine outreach, knocking on the doors of poor people in the hood and saying, hey, would you like a vaccine? And instead of having the University of Texas do it, they gave the deal to some woman that works in Montrose. Now, if you're not from Houston, I love that photo. If you're not from Houston, you probably don't know what Montrose is. That's the gayborhood. In other words, they gave the contract to some woman that lives above a Bong and marital aid store. It didn't make it with no employees. It made no sense. And she says, there's nothing to this. There's nothing suspicious about it. Lo and behold, Ken Paxton and the Texas Rangers, the law enforcement agency, not the baseball team, get involved. They investigate. Now they've all been indicted, walked out in handcuffs, and somehow Lena gets reelected by less than 1%.
Yeah, every time. Isn't it amazing? It's always 1%.
Everybody was talking about Maricopa County. Everybody was talking about what happened over in Georgia. In the last election,
Harris County's got some problems.
100%. One of the worst in the country.
Yeah, it's bad.
Every conservative neighborhood, every conservative polling location, open late, closed early.
Well, do you see how they gerrymander it, too?
Big time.
Oh, my gosh. There are some redonkulous gerrymandering that the Democrats do to sliver off votes from the blue metropolitan population dense areas. They got these in Houston. It's like a hook. And then it is one of the most redonkulous. It's literally like they sliver out a population dense area in Houston, yeah. Huge population. But it's, you know, they want to find a way, to, and they because they're fighting racism.
So I'm
they,
sure, of course.
They want to find a way. No, that's what they claim. They want to find a way to sliver off this portion of the black vote in Houston that votes majorly Democrat. But the Democrats know we don't need 80 or 90% of the vote. We can win with 51% of the vote.
Right.
So they gerrymander. There's this one in Houston. I think it's District 2. I don't remember what it is. You guys brought it. It's like, it is, I mean, you'd think. I'm not trying to be mean, but you'd think like a kindergartner was just scribbling on a piece of paper.
I've made the same point.
It's like a hook, and then it's like a sieve or something. It's like who?
You're talking about Texas 18. Do you know who it is? She just died.
It's CJAC's district.
Oh my God! Dan Crenshaw and Sheila Jackson.
She was oversight for Secret Service. Did you know that?
Right. Yeah. Mm. I know. Nothing weird about that. Owen.
Not a coincidence.
If you look on a map at the districts in Houston, it's almost as bad as Chicago, where they don't make any sense at all. But the two politicians from Houston that have benefited the most from this, Crenshaw and CJAC. Rest in peace. Not gonna
be the worst.
Not gonna badmouth a woman that just died of cancer. But how weird is that? Hours before she's dying.
Look at that nice hook.
Look at that. Look at it. And hours before she's dying, someone's on her Twitter account bad-mouthing Trump's speech. There's an interesting question we have to ask. How many of these politicians, I mean, Mitch McConnell.
You defeated racism.
Dianne Feinstein, CJAC, Joe Biden. How many of them are just filling a chair? I know, it's crazy looking at these.
I'm sorry.
Do you want to look at the map again?
This is a comedy routine. Look at the bottom of districts 4 and 3.
Okay, so I think, are we actually looking at the... These aren't the congressional districts, are they? Or are they? Show me District 18 if you can. TX 18 is Sheila Jackson Lee's district. And it is, I think we were just looking, I don't know what
map. This is great material here.
It's amazing, right? And the only place that's worse is Chicago. The voting districts in Chicago.
Where you're originally from.
I'm very familiar. I've lived in flat, corrupt, Democrat-controlled cities with gerrymandered voting districts that don't make any sense. That's my expertise.
Oh, no, they make sense.
I mean, they make sense if you get it, right.
Yeah,
no,
they make sense. Hey, Democrats are smart politically. They know how to steal power.
Yeah.
So they say, well, we don't need...
There you go,
yeah, there it is.
There it is. Look at 18. 2.
Beautiful.
38. 18 is my
Picasso
favorite.
The Picasso of districts.
Yeah, I mean, this is how we got Crenshaw. This is how we get CJAC.
In fact, 7 is probably the best example. If you look, 7 is the perfect example.
It's so weird. And I think that's Al Green, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, you know, he tried to incite a mob against me.
I'm sure.
He did.
Well, I mean, you know, didn't you have it coming, Owen?
Yeah, well, I asked him. I said, hey, Al, why do you call Trump a racist?
Well,
he is a racist. And then he incited a mob against me. He was at Reagan International Airport.
Yeah, and everybody in the black congressional caucus is full of it because they don't want Wesley Hunt to be a member. They don't want Byron Donalds. And look at the great work. That's real black empowerment, is telling people diversity is more than the skin color on the outside of your body. It's about tangible thought.
Is this the shift of the district shape that you're putting on the screen there, guys?
I think that's what that is. Isn't that interesting how it changed? Yeah, I love that.
Well, you know, they got to move the districts to make sure they stay in power.
Sure,
but I mean, seriously,
the barrio moves around. You got to move it when the barrio moves, you know.
But look, this is the strategy. It's obvious. Every congressional district gets a vote in the House. And so the Democrats find a way to get as many votes in the House as possible.
And
so it's really amazing. They stole the Senate by changing the laws that get the senators elected. And then they stole the House by gerrymandering to make sure that they get as many votes as possible. I mean, this Democrat Party, it needs to be extincted politically. It is built on corruption. It has had multiple terror groups work through its institutions,
100%.
Like Bill Ayers, who you know, actually.
He was a professor at my college. Yeah, I graduated from the University of Illinois Chicago. While I was there, Bill Ayers was a professor. He was a tenured professor. And being at that university pushed a lot of people to the left. It pushed me to the right. But going back to the congressional districts we were just looking at, you know, Owen, everything you just said is true. But you know who else is responsible for this? It's Dade Moore. It's Dade Phelan, excuse me.
Who just got reelected somehow.
Yeah, exactly. It's
Lord.
Makes no sense. For those of you that live outside of Texas, we have a problem with these George Bush Republicans.
Yes.
That refuse to go away.
And there is an inner struggle to get rid of them.
Yeah.
And we're so close, man. Like, we've got the... I'm sure you've... I don't know if you've talked to them. They're great people. The Texit group.
Big, yeah. Very smart people, and I'm not necessarily somebody that thinks that we should leave the union, but we should have the right to do it without being imprisoned, or at least talk about it. We have such a bizarre moment happening in Texas Republican Party, the infighting. It's the Ken Paxton guys, the Trump populists, the Wesley Hunt guys.
And the Bush holdovers.
Versus the Bush holdovers, and one of them is dead, and I don't know how. But for those of you that don't understand, we have these chairs for the committees in the House of Texas House, and they keep giving seats to Democrats, and there's only one reason that happens, so rhinos can stay in power.
And I've had other – it's crazy, too, because they're really clinging to life, the Bush establishment Republicans. I don't think their time in Texas is very long politically, because I've been to events where I get kicked out by these people.
Yeah.
They kick me out of their events. And then they'll have some of their biggest donors will come up to me afterwards and they'll be like, I can't believe what they just did to you. I agreed with everything you just said. I'm not going to donate a single cent now to the Travis Republicans anymore. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, you choose what you want to do with your funding. But, you know, this isn't going to be out. Going to be here for too long, hopefully.
A little inside baseball. Your producers right now are scrolling through videos from the Paxton impeachment trial. One of the people they put up on the screen there is Tony Busby. Tony Busby isn't a right-wing ideologue or anything like that. He's probably the best attorney in the state of Texas.
He was great.
And he was Paxton's lawyer.
Well, didn't he run for office after that?
For city council. Would have been great. We couldn't have gotten a better city councilman than Tony Busby. But because he committed the crime, the cardinal sin, of helping out a Donald Trump Republican like Ken Paxton, the George Bush Republicans of the state stepped in, got involved in our city council meeting and city council elections and kept Busby from getting elected. This guy might be the best trial lawyer in America.
He was awesome.
Clearly,
and imagine, he went up against all that corruption and he beat the establishment Republicans. He beat the FBI.
And he's clearly overqualified to be a city councilman, right?
Yeah.
But he would have been amazing
at it. That's like a mayor. That's like, I want you to be my mayor or governor.
I mean, he would have been awesome. Yeah, he would have been a great mayor, too. That's the Tony Busby, a good guy, if you know who that is. But again, you know, he's friends with the he did a Donald Trump fundraiser at his house, so they kept him from being a mayor.
You can't do that.
Kept him from being city councilman. Tony Busby, if you're watching, which you're probably not, you're probably on a yacht somewhere, but he's a great guy. Yeah. Anyway,
he would take an invitation to the yacht.
Hey, before we run out of time, can we talk about Wheelchairs for Warriors? If
that's right? Hold on a second, though.
Yes.
You've got a shirt on here, okay?
We sell these on the Walton & Johnson website.
Now, well, we can't plug yours.
Okay.
We have to plug
shirt. Fair.
We're plugging my shirt here. That was well played, but no.
Fair,
we have the Bulletproof Trump shirt. It's available right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Gotta fund this. So if you go to InfoWarsStore.com, this is a limited edition. You notice we don't really sell much apparel anymore. We just don't do it. But
you got to get this.
We have the limited edition Trump bulletproof shirt.
That looks awesome.
InfoWarsStore.com. The softest cotton you're ever going to feel. It's the softest cotton. It's not tough. It's not like the Teflon Don. It's really soft cotton.
Yeah.
Make sure it was soft. We wanted it to be comfortable for you.
Ladies can sleep in it.
The Trump bulletproof shirt right now, InfoWarsStore.com. And while you're there, pick up a great product as well that are on sale, up to 60% off the Save InfoWars mega sale happening right now at InfoWarsStore.com. But get the limited edition. Plus, I mean, who knows the future, the fate of InfoWars? This could end up being, a piece of InfoWars lore.
It's a big deal. I'm not getting paid to be here.
I collect InfoWars t-shirts.
I'm not being paid to be here. I'm not being paid to promote it. Guys, if InfoWars goes away, we are screwed. This is one of the oldest news outlets in the world of new media that has defied. There was a point in time when I was a skeptic years ago, and every crazy thing that was ever said on this network, I mean, for the most part, as far as I know, I mean, gay frogs, I think, is the most famous one. That was true. That was actually a real thing.
They got the frogs.
I know. It's one of my we play it on our morning show almost every day at some point when we're going to break.
And if these people, if they're willing to turn the frogs gay, think about what they're going to do to you.
I know. It's crazy. But look, for whatever it's worth, Alex got that information from an NBC News article. It's not like he made it up. If InfoWars goes away, so goes Twitter, so goes right-wing populism.
But you know what's so strange about that? And I do want to talk about what you do for veterans, because this is the veterans show.
Sure.
And we did have veterans guests. We're probably not going to have time for calls. But you know what's so crazy about that? When I first started listening to InfoWars, it wasn't even like I wasn't left or right. What really resonated with me more than anything was the people that came on and talked about GMOs and the people that came on and talked about organic food and you know, the pharmaceutical stuff. And it was kind of more like health stuff, which at the time was kind of more liberal stuff.
Exactly.
You know, that was kind of more leftist liberal stuff. Was like, hey, here's the toxics and stuff they're putting in the food and the water and you know, there's pharmaceutical products and the runoff and you know, GMOs and inorganic food. That's what actually, even more than the politics, kind of resonated with me because I was always into health and exercise. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. How have I not heard about this? What do you mean the fluoride in the water? What do you mean the GMOs? What do you mean the things that are the pesticides that they're putting on the plants? So that was kind of the first thing to me that was like, whoa, this is information I'm curious of. But it was liberal at the time.
It was.
That was considered liberal. Now they write stories and they say, if you want to be healthy, you're a white wing extremist. They write stories now that say, if you work out and you're white, you could die.
Isn't that crazy? Going to the gym is now a right wing populist. And it makes no sense. Look, the truth is the truth, no matter what position you are, no matter what side of the aisle you're on. And at the end of the day, this left versus right thing, that's one of the tools they're using against us. Because it shouldn't be left versus right. It should be us versus them. It should be the elites versus the populists. At the end of the day, the people fighting for the little guy don't... Glenn Greenwald and Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones and Elon Musk are all on the same side now? That's crazy. But here we are, and, well, and aren't you glad they are?
Well, and I think that the real battle is, you know, it looks left versus right. Because we have the Republicans and the Democrats. But really, it's up versus down. Up is more freedom. Down is less freedom.
That's exactly
And that's really what it comes down to. And some people just haven't figured that out yet because they think they're social justice warriors. We're going to beat racism. You know, we're going to beat homophobia. And it's just like, no, you're missing the entire – you're missing everything if that's what you think you're doing here. You're going to be starving and your country's going to be at war and you're going to be broke.
Yeah.
But hey, you defeated racism. Congratulations.
I've never been part of the alphabet community or the, you know, it's never been a concern. I'm not gay. I don't have any gay family members. I've never been against it either. But one of the things
nobody used to care. I know this all happened after Obama.
It
used to be like nobody cared. Like, yeah, you do you, I do me. Since the 90s, that was kind of a thing. But then post Obama, it was like, oh, everybody's got an identity now.
It would be interesting to see a study on how many gay people right now are against the current gay political narrative. Because I think it's most of them.
I'm sure you've seen gays against groomers.
Yeah, and this is totally anecdotal, right? But I just noticed that when I meet gay people living in a big liberal city like Houston, they don't agree with what this idea of grooming kids in public
schools.
If
you don't vote Biden, then you ain't gay.
That's it. If you don't vote Biden, you ain't trans.
Kamala, I guess, you know, she's the real president now. She's running. So she should go to a gay deal with a bunch of gay voters and say, if you don't vote Kamala, then you're not gay.
Did you see?
Like, really? I was just in the bathroom with this dude over here. I'm pretty sure I'm gay, and I'm thinking about vote Trump.
Did you see Joy Reid today is trying to reinvent that talking point? Joy Reid was on TV today, or TikTok, or I don't know. I saw it on Twitter. And she's telling people, if you don't vote for Kamala, you ain't black.
She's saying that now.
They're bringing it back. The thing that was used to dunk on them, they're now trying to reclaim it.
You know what, though? But it's the same thing. It's like if you're actually an African-American whose parents came here or maybe even you are a descendant of slaves in this country, that's not Kamala.
No.
That's like stolen social justice valor that she's trying to have.
You know her ancestors were slave owners.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know
Big
that.
Big time.
Yeah, and
she's an Indian-Jamaican descendant.
It's crazy.
Of slave owners.
And if you want to talk about a class system or classism, India. I mean, that is... Yeah, ask somebody from India what it's like to be poor in that country, and they'll tell you, America's awesome. I don't understand why you guys don't like it here. I mean, we're so lucky to be in this country.
Well, the Indian Americans know that. That's why when Trump went to Houston, he had 100,000 people at NRG Stadium. It's one of the biggest political events ever.
Have you ever seen this statistic before? In 2016, Trump was the first Republican to get Hindus and Indians to vote right wing. I mean, like, as a large
Abraham
percentage.
Accords, you know, peace on earth. Yeah, gee, why would I want this Trump guy?
Yeah.
By the way, and this is a big issue, because I know you want to talk about this, and this is why we let you on the Veterans Call-In Show. As
my brother. Appreciate you.
So, but you guys were doing a big push when I was in prison for Wheelchairs for Warriors, and one of the big issues that I've covered consistently, normally we take a bunch of calls from veterans on this broadcast. We had a couple veteran guests today. But especially when Trump was in, the number one thing I was hearing from veterans was we used to get treated like crap by the VA, and everything changed as soon as, like, it was like night and day difference, and I think things are going back down again. I was stunned when I heard some of the stories. I was stunned at how much some of these wheelchairs cost, but I was stunned. It was like veterans will come back from tours they do overseas and they'll be missing a leg or, you know, whatever it is, they need a wheelchair.
Right.
And they don't even get any help, or they get like an old wheelchair that won't even roll.
Yeah. These guys have paid the ultimate price. And it's not that the VA doesn't give out wheelchairs, because people will ask me, wheelchairs for warriors, don't they give wheelchairs? Yes, but it's very hard to get one. Right. And they're not very good. They're rinky dinky. I heard a story once, and these are true stories from the people at Wheelchairs for Warriors, about a guy who was trying to fix his own wheelchair. And when someone, because it was, the wheel was falling off, it wasn't holding together. When someone at the VA found out about it, they punished him by taking it away. And so that's the whole point of wheelchairs.
You can't fix your own wheelchair.
No, you're not supposed to.
How dare you?
It's their property. You're not supposed to mess with it. You're not supposed to work on it. My late uncle was a Vietnam War veteran, and he was a victim of Agent Orange. And he was also a dentist. In the end of his life, he did volunteer work at the VA hospitals, filling cavities in Florida. And he told me one of the things that blew his mind was, normally you go to a dentist and you have a cavity. What do? You got a cavity. You want me to fill it? That is not protocol at a dentist office at the VA hospitals in Florida and presumably other states. Instead, they give you a prescription for opioids, Vicodin, whatever it may be, and they have you come in back in a week. Now, knowing what you know about opioid addiction and the cost of health care and how desperate our federal government is to get old vets to die off so they don't have to take care of them anymore, why do you think they would do that, Owen? Why do you think they would give them drugs instead of just filling their cavity?
I mean, it's a heartbreaking story. I mean, it really is. And you hear it too often, but you just said it. Hey, this guy, we're having to pay for his health care. And, you know, let's just find a way to get him addicted to this opiate. And, you know, maybe the worst happens to him, but he does it to himself. So it's not our fault.
100%, which, by the way, is also my theory about what happened in Butler. I don't think that they put that guy there. I think they let it happen. I mean, I think...
Well, there's evidence. I mean, that's like 98% proven at this point.
Exactly. Or January 6th. There's so many. So if we understand that about January 6th, if we understand that about what happened in
Butler...
It's
Nightcrawler.
Yeah, 100%.
Nightcrawler. Of this is like Nightcrawler.
They wanted it to... It was reckless on purpose. So when you consider that, why wouldn't they have the same perspective on how to deal with healthcare for vets? That's why I encourage people. Wheelchairs for Warriors is a Texas-run charity, and they give wheelchairs to people all over America. They're literally saving lives. You know, PTSD is a big problem, and one of the things that causes people in this country to commit suicide is military veterans don't get good health care. So that's the whole point of this organization.
Are you guys doing a Christmas party this year?
We do a stand-up comedy show to raise money for them, and we do it almost every year. Alex Stein has been a guest, Jesse Payton, a lot of right-wing I do right-wing stand-up comedy shows with guys like Chad Prather and Alex, and a lot of guys that are big fans of you and the people you work with. And I don't do it all the time. We're doing a tour in October, and when we tour, we always try to raise money for vets. Because, I mean, look, we're so lucky we get to do this. This is such a cool life that we live. And if it wasn't for how screwed up the world is, I would do a very different show, and I'm sure you would too. Part of the reason why we choose this content is because there's a need for it. It's not hard to make the apocalypse interesting. We really are living in a strange time, Owen.
Well, I used to do sports. I mean, when I left the sports media, I had my foot in the door for probably like maybe four or five different career paths in the sports media. And to break into sports media as a broadcaster is a lot harder.
Yeah.
But there were a couple other avenues I could have taken. I would have made a fine living doing, you know, NFL, whatever, MLB, NHL. And when I basically just abandoned it and shifted to politics, people looked at me and they're like, are you nuts?
My brother, same thing happened to me. I was on a rock radio station. I was the producer of a late night electronic music show. And when I decided I didn't want to do that anymore and I wanted to do political talk, everybody said, Kenny, wouldn't you rather hang out backstage at the Imagine Dragons concert and smoke weed with, you know, Dave Navarro? I was like, no, not really. Not for the rest of my life. No.
Wait, is he in Imagine Dragons?
No, but you know, ironically, he's a libertarian. Funny coincidence. So he's kind of, I'm told, and Billy Corgan's another one.
Billy Corgan, he likes InfoWars.
Yeah, they're not liberals.
I don't talk about it. There's a lot of rock stars that like InfoWars. There's a lot of rock stars that like Alex Jones. They like to listen to our shows. But you got to be careful.
You can't talk about it.
You got it. You'll lose your record deals. You'll lose your charts you'll lose your spot on the charts. So they just don't talk about it. All right, Kenny Webster, Waltman Johnson Radio. Find him all over the map. That does it for the show. But no, I have no regrets leaving sports media. Right here at InfoWars is where I belong. So keep us on air. Shop at InfoWarsStore.com, ladies and gentlemen. All right. We got live Alex Jones and Sunday Night Live Sunday. And then I'll be right back here Monday hosting the War Room. Who knows what's going to happen between now and then? Who knows?
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. Then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
Omega-3 fatty acids are needed for optimal strength, and they can only be obtained through diet. They can be found in grass-fed beef, which is why the ruling class is trying to ban it. And they can be found in fish, which are arguably the best source of omega-3s. But the problem today is finding fish without a high mercury content. Your best option is our Ultimate Fish Oil and Ultimate Krill Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. Omega-3 fatty acids are essential for both our neurological and cardiovascular systems, our brain and our heart. They improve mood, mental clarity, and immune function. Get your essential omega-3 fatty acids from the best sources available, Ultimate Fish Oil and Ultimate Krill Oil. Get some today at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com/show.